If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good morning.
Now you guys make, different, I guess you put a DVD in?
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
That's the way it is? Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Now, you're a guy who, I don't know your name.
LA radio station K-Rock host, Kevin and Bean.
I'd rather be stuck in an elevator with Nathan Lane, Gilbert Gottfried, Carrot Top. Sean Hayes, well, you get the picture.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Come on, you can't be serious. She's an Oriental, for Christ's sake.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
And now...
Who would do something like that?
Choose.
Our feature presentation.
Come on. Really?
How are you going to start like that?
Oh, God. It's going to be a...
Long,
it's
going to
be another
week.
One of those weeks. Yeah. We had last week, and now we have this week already.
Lisa, every week's like that.
That we did not offend last week, Lisa.
Last week was worse.
Yep.
And you guys peaked.
And by worst, you mean best.
Yeah.
We had the midgets hated us.
Right. Yes.
We had the Japanese that were complaining. Mm-hmm. The Mormons were outraged.
Yes. They're not happy.
Very little on the Jews, though. So that's why I figured we got a short week. We got to get started first thing.
Okay. Well, good job.
Kevin, what are you wearing?
What is up with you, Kevin?
What are you talking about?
Seriously, what are you wearing?
What are those glasses?
My Beowulf 3D glasses.
It looks like Mr. Magoo.
You get to keep them?
My name is Beowulf! Yeah.
I didn't know that.
If you steal them, you get to keep them.
But they hand them out to the next person.
I don't think so. No, they give them to you in a plastic little baggy thing.
Really?
Sealed.
Really?
Okay, that's cool.
So I've been rocking them ever since. I keep looking at women to see if their boobs look like Angelina Jolie's do, but they don't.
Oh, how disappointing.
I thought they were like X-ray
in real
specs.
Life.
Huh?
Real life is already 3D. You don't need to wear the glasses to make it appear 3D.
Hang on, let me look at Lisa. No?
No? How were Angelina's boobs?
Well, great.
Yeah. Let's not dilly-dally with this
just
one.
Just really good.
Yeah.
Just great.
Did you love the movie?
I did, yeah. Thought it was great. It's not my top 10, don't get me wrong.
I was at Mr. Magorium myself, but good for you.
Mr. Magorium's
Wonder Emporium.
Hash Emporium, what is it?
Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium.
Hash Emporium.
And how was that?
It was fun.
That's one where
it's
the...
It's not a great movie, but it was fun.
Did it have
the store's alive.
Did it have Angelina Jolie's cans?
No.
No.
I got the sense that if they had a meeting where they said, okay, what rhymes with Emporium? I got it, Magorium. That to me says they weren't trying very hard. And if they're not even going to put any effort into the title, how much effort are they going to put into the movie?
I thought it was a fine movie.
Yeah.
It's not in my top 10 either, but it's a fine movie.
It's a Christmas, isn't it?
You know, I thought it was a Christmas movie.
It's just
love
a toy store?
To have at least one Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie.
Well, that's why I thought Bean would like it, because if it has to do with Christmas, it can be crappy. He's in.
So I'm still on the search for the Christmas movie for this
Did
year.
You see Fred Claus already?
Not yet.
Well,
not
God forbid, that would come to mind as a Christmas movie.
Possibly.
It's about freaking Santa Claus.
Not
possibly.
Much of a shirt.
We'll see.
I'm sorry, not much of a search.
Mixed about that movie. So,
but you're looking for a Christmas
right,
movie.
Right, but there may be more. Mm-hmm. Don't you think there'll be a few more before Christmas?
I don't know how many they've...
I'll go to Fred Claus.
I saw Stuffing Her Stocking yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was an awesome Christmas movie.
That's a good one.
There's an
idea. I can
recommend
that.
Okay, thank you.
I saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life over the weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Was it in the theaters?
It was.
Was it new?
Yes.
Hmm.
So I usually don't see bad movies because I get warmed off because I do read the reviews and they're very helpful. But
right.
I saw Love in the Time of Cholera.
Yeah.
Which couldn't have been more dreadful.
I heard it was not good.
But at least it was
so
an upper.
Bad.
At least it was funny. Right?
Not really. I mean, it is meant to be a romance. It's from an insanely popular romantic novel that was written by a Colombian. And beloved. And it's a movie that millions of people have been waiting for a long, long time. Please take off the glasses. It's hard to concentrate. Seriously.
Dude, I will not take them off until
I see the
boobs of Jolie.
But it couldn't have been worse. Couldn't have been more boring. Javier Bardem, who I love, by the way, he just plays this guy who's supposed to be your romantic hero as a creepy stalker loser guy that you can't root for. And
I hate those guys.
Dialogue is bad. The pacing is bad. They have old people makeup that looks like a joke. I mean, you've never seen less realistic old people makeup because these actors, you know, age decades in the film. It just couldn't have looked worse. And it was 2 hours and 20 minutes long, which was about 2 hours too long. So it was just a disaster. Please take my advice and be waved off of that one if you were thinking going to see it. And some did. I mean, it was in the top 10 this week, and there are people out there seeing it and I'm sure regretting it.
I heard part of the problem with that movie is that in the book, there are literally four lines of dialogue.
What are you talking about?
In the entire book. It's all description.
All inner dialogue? And then he walked forward.
I mean, you could write a book without dialogue, but to turn that into a movie, which
much
is
more difficult.
All dialogue, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Close
well,
to impossible.
I wish I had some glasses to put on that were completely blacked out. That's what I wish.
Dude, you
I
need to,
run, to see it.
You need to run your movie choices by me, Bean. I'll give you some heads up on that.
Okay.
That looked bad to me. I could have told you that right up front. Boring.
Well, it had potential because a similar movie called The Painted Veil that came out a couple years ago, very similar topic, very good.
That was a good movie.
Very bad.
I rented the worst movie I've ever seen, too, but not the worst ever, but one of.
What?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks with Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that a stinker?
I was yelling at the TV screen. I was so
Why
mad.
Would
it's
you?
So ridiculous.
What would make you out of the whole world of DVDs rent that one?
Well, I've been doing the Netflix recently, and I watched all
Don't
the movies
care?
That I had been delivered by
right?
Netflix. So at the last second on Friday night, I said to my wife, hey, if you're going to be out, would you please stop by Blockbuster and pick something up?
Oh, so
she didn't know what to get. She got like a bunch of different movies.
Yeah.
And out of the ones she got, I said, maybe this one's got a shot.
All right, what else did she get?
Shrek 3.
Better.
And I forgot. I think that might have been it, actually. But either way, we ended up watching that. And it's angering. You are mad at the
But you deserve that, though, if you get something with the words Kevin and Costner on the DVD box. I mean, that's just asking for it.
Kevin and Costner followed up boldly by Dane and Cook.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good point.
Yeah.
You might as well shop in your frozen food aisle and look for something that says poo. I mean, you're just asking for
they
it.
They sell
and
that?
Get home and complain that it doesn't taste good.
Well, I got to tell you, Mike, instead of watching that, if you had gone to Beowulf, you would have been very happy because the dude that plays Beowulf, naked 90% of the time.
Yeah!
Angelina Jolie, you know, maybe 30% of the time.
Perfect ratio.
That's not good for me. I was not a fan
That's
of that.
What Mike looks for.
I wish I had the glasses. I would switch the glasses off at the blackened glasses every time he'd come on screen. For some reason, he felt the need to fight nude. I don't understand that.
Well, there's your movie roundup this morning.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? It's Monday morning, and it's the 19th of Blovember.
Can you see with the glasses? Are you going to be able to read that paper in front of you with the glasses?
I can see in 3D, dude.
Okay. You take the glasses off, you can see in 3D. I got to remind you again.
Let's see. Hang on. Trouble making this out.
What is it?
Mossy.
Why don't you maybe take the glasses off is what I'm suggesting. Masioka.
Masioka.
Masioka. Hero on
Hero
the TV show
on
Heroes.
The TV show Heroes on the program today.
Yes.
Gene Simmons from the band Kiss.
We're going to do
that.
What
you're looking for?
That very funny Psycho Mike voice?
No. Actually, the real Gene Simmons is coming on today.
Matt. I can't.
Matt
Money
Smith.
Yes, Matt Money Smith.
Former sports guy is going to be on to talk about freaking Terrell Owens getting four touchdowns yesterday.
Yes.
Which makes America weep, I got to tell you. There's no one happy about that.
And I see two things about Christmas. I'm not sure what they are. Christmas.
I believe it's details on how to buy your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas and final touches on the Miss Double December competition that's going on through K-Rock.com. I believe those two things are going to be discussed today.
So there you go.
Thanks, Kevin. That was fabulous.
Plus, we have an update from our friends Gerald and Linda Pauly.
From our friends Gerald and Linda Pauly.
Up in North Dakota. We'll be talking to them next hour.
Oh, there's an echo.
We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbizby.
That's what I'm saying about Psycho Mike. The pretty boys, man, they don't even have to learn how to spell anymore. They just get through. They just skate through life, just oblivious to how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
So, details, you know, Ralph. You know about the pretty boys and all the breaks they get. Sure.
Trust me, I've lived the life.
Details on how you can buy your tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 coming up at 7:20 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for first thing on a Monday morning.
First thing.
They sell those tickets?
They do, yeah.
We do, yeah.
That's a great deal. You can actually buy them.
Even before that, you can win them.
That's nuts. This is cool. This station is cool. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? According to Daily Variety newspaper,
Beowulf. Apparently, Kevin wasn't the only one going to see the movie. Made $28 million this weekend, making it number one by far. You look like Roy Orbison.
Oh, dear God.
You should sing a, sing a song for us or two. Only
right
the lonely.
All of the all the rappers last night on the American Music Awards had their sunglasses on and would not take them off for anything on stage.
Were they watching the show in? In
maybe they were. 3D? Maybe they're like Kevin and don't understand that real life is 3D.
No.
Yeah, Beowulf did very well for itself. $28 million. 40% of that take was 3D. 60% was not in 3D. So people were going regardless of whether they
3D
could see
was way
3D.
Cool.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah.
Did you see it on the IMAX, too?
I didn't. No, I just saw 3D.
If you get a chance, go see, I guess, I don't know, there's so three good. Or four IMAX theaters around the Southland you can get to. I saw it up at Universal, but there's a bunch of them, and it really is a very impressive film. I am Beowulf. I'm here to slay your monster. Love Ray Winstone in that. B-movie was number two at the box office, made a little over $14 million. American Gangster still hanging in, and number three, $13 million, was good enough to make it take the third slot. Fred Claus, people desperately seeking a Christmas movie like Lisa, just can't find one. A Christmas movie to go see. And apparently Claus was the giveaway to a lot of people. They went to see it this weekend, made $12 million. Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
Yes, it's magical.
I'm sorry?
Yes, it's magical.
Lisa's it's got a new
Irish
accent.
All right.
Yeah, sort of Scotch
a
Irish Welsh accent.
She's actually doing a leprechaun.
It made $10 million, good enough to make it number five. Dan in Real Life was six. No Country for Old Men was number seven. Lions for Lambs, number eight. Saw 4 was number nine. And Bean's hit movie of the weekend, Love in the Time of Cholera, made $1.9 million. Just eking out the number 10 slot this weekend.
I would rather have cholera than have to go see that movie.
Yeah. There's a way that you can... never mind.
I used to eat cholera greens back in the day.
Oh, no. Wow.
Tasted very
different.
Delicious.
Different thing.
What? Congratulations to Chris Noth. He and his girlfriend Tara Wilson are expecting their first child due sometime next year. Of course, Chris played Detective Mike Logan on Law & Order for many years and also was Mr. Big on Sex and the City. Also having a baby, Juliana Margulies.
Ooh.
She tied the knot this weekend with her lawyer boyfriend, Keith Lieberthal. They're going to have a baby just after the holidays, they're expecting. So she took advantage of having some time off from her new TV series, Canterbury's Law, to go get hitched. I guess a lot of people are catching up on their personal lives now that they're sort of unemployed due to the strike. Speaking of the strike, looks like some major high-profile movies are the latest casualties to the strike. According to Daily Variety, Ron Howard's sequel to The Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, was shut down over the weekend.
Oh.
So they won't be working on that anytime soon. Of course, there is an upside to the strike. Oliver Stone's new movie has also been shut down, so we got that going for us.
I like he uses writers.
I'm confused, Ralph, because once you start to shoot a movie, especially a high-profile film like the Howard movie, don't you already have a script? Isn't it already written?
I don't believe they were in full production. I think they were in pre-production at the time. And a movie with that much of a budget, with that much riding on it, if they're unhappy with the script and they need rewrites, there's really nothing they can do. So that's what they had to do. Bruce Willis was supposed to star in the Oliver Stone movie. However, the cancellation of that has freed him up to do a new film, according to Variety. He has signed on to do a sci-fi thriller called The Surrogates, which sounds like a cool idea. It's a futuristic film where humans live apart from each other completely. There's no contact.
Oh, Bean loves
between
that.
Humans.
I love that. Tell me more.
But they only contact with each other through robots, which are basically better-looking versions of themselves. So the robots are out and about in the world, and everyone sees and hears everything through their robot.
Huh.
So it's like you're playing a virtual reality life game, sort of.
Yes, only it's happening... In the real world.
Bean's going to try and make that happen.
It's like move there.
It's like Bean and his Beanbot. Remember last year when he was operating the Beanbot from his island?
Sure.
Lance Armstrong and Ashley Olsen are not dating people. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Hey, you said they were last week.
Stop it. You people, I tried to tell you they weren't dating.
You said they were together.
You kept insisting that old Lance Armstrong was banging young Ashley Olsen, and I said, you are foul, foul, foul.
Cool and... good for him.
Lance told the New York Post last Friday, "We have hung out amongst other friends. She strikes me as a nice, smart lady, but we are not, repeat, not dating."
Huh.
Maybe he was just babysitting. Did you ever think about that?
I did not think about that. Anybody catch the American Music Awards over the weekend?
Kinda.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was on. I had no idea it was even on. When was it on? Last night?
Last night. Yeah.
Last night. Yeah.
So ABC. When men were watching football, Bean, you were watching the AMAs?
I was flipping. Well, I mean, that was a nail biter. That NBC said that game was a nail biter.
Still, choice between rappers accepting awards and football, even bad football, I'm staying tuned into the football.
Watch as much of the game as I could, but I felt I had a responsibility to the show to watch that in case there was anything cool. And there was one cool event. You would have hated it, Ralph, but Beyonce, who, by the way, has never looked hotter than she does right now. She is in the peak of her prime, if that's an expression.
It isn't.
And I just sent you a picture, Psycho Mike. You got to check it out from last night. But she came out with the band Sugarland, that country band, like hardcore twangy country band. And they did a duet together of her song Irreplaceable that was just fantastic.
That sounds like horrible.
It was very cool.
That sounds that sounds bad.
That's crap in a bucket.
Wow. No, it was cool because it was one of the only things in 3 hours that was interesting. Everything else was just so frightfully dull.
Was it in 3D?
I couldn't believe no, it wasn't.
Well, there you go.
I couldn't believe that the guys who wrote Love in the Time of Cholera didn't write this. It was so bad. But I did watch it. And our friend Jimmy ad-libbed his way through it without writers and did a pretty good job.
Well, you know, he's probably funnier than most guys are writers.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the guy, clearly he's the right host for that show because he ad-libs his way through much of his, you know, back when he used to have a talk show. I mean, that's what he does.
Here's a little taste of Jimmy doing his hosting duties.
I'm Jimmy Kimmel. This is my fourth time hosting the show. And my first time hosting it drunk, so I'm very excited to be here. Actually, this is going to be a little bit loose tonight because I'm a member of the Writers Guild, and we're on strike. And so I'm on strike. I mean, it may not look like it, but I'm striking right now in my heart. So I was not allowed to write any jokes for tonight's event. So what I'm going to do tonight, instead of entertaining you with my comedy, is I'm going to entertain you with my little scene dancing ability tonight. You know, backstage I was talking to my son. He's 14 years old. And he said the cutest thing. He said, "Dad, what I would like is to lose my virginity to one of the next two presenters on the show." Isn't that sweet? Please welcome from High School Musical and High School Musical Dose, Vanessa Hudgens and Ashley Tisdale.
Disney was delighted with that line, by the way, with bringing them out.
He keeps pleasing them.
He does.
He keeps pleasing them.
He's a pleaser.
Disney, folks. Things are bad for Britney Spears. She was in court on Friday, and the judge told her she is no longer allowed to drive her sons, Sean and Hayden, anywhere in a car anytime.
Good.
Ever.
Yay!
Just no.
Finally.
You can't drive them anywhere. You are not allowed. Runner of red lights.
Now, normal people would say,
driver.
I have the money to hire a driver. That will be my answer. I can take my kids wherever I want. Normal people would say that.
Normal people would.
Yeah.
However,
no.
If you look at a list of normal people,
she's not in
you
it.
Will not find her name on that list.
Who would do something like that?
Choose.
Yep. There you go.
Oh.
What's wrong with that?
And the entire production staff of Saturday Night Live got the axe over the weekend. NBC.
Yeah!
Why, yay.
Canned the entire production staff of that show. No, because it's horrible. Oh. I find it hard to believe, though, that Saturday Night Live has anything to do with the writer's strike. Because if you watch that show at all, you cannot believe that they have a staff of writers. So it's hard to believe that show would even be affected. I thought it would just go on as usual. And they would just make stuff up and laugh at their own jokes. But apparently, there are writers. And speaking of writers, it may affect the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade broadcast.
Oh, really? I sure hate to see that happen.
Yeah, Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira will be hosting.
She's an angry midget, that Meredith.
No, that's a different Meredith. Oh. This is Meredith Vieira from The View. Remember her?
Okay.
Yeah. And today's show. She and Matt are concerned because there will be no scripted BS conversation for them to have while the parades are going down the center of town. So
that stuff that they write for those hosts for the parades is the worst thing ever. They're going to do better.
They may find we all will be better off without writers scripting those portions. NBC is talking about getting some non-union writers to script those portions that they need to talk about. So
pick them up at Home Depot.
That's right.
Any Home Depot.
I don't watch those parades, but I think they would be better television if they just showed the parade. They didn't have hosts or announcers.
No, no.
Just watch the balloons go by.
No, here comes Underdog. Underdog, of course, was created 40 years ago for a morning TV show. Oh, God, it's horrible when they do that stuff. Here come the Lipizzaner Stallions. You know, those stallions, they eat 18 bags of oats a day. Those BS details they give you, just fill in time.
They're the worst.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jodie Foster turns 45 years old today. I wonder how she's going to celebrate. Meg Ryan turns 46. Allison Janney from The West Wing is 47 years old today. And Larry King, our beloved talk show host.
No kidding.
Larry
Hold on, let
King.
Me guess. He's got to be triple digits, right?
How dare you, sir? He is a young and virile 74 years old today.
He's only 74?
74.
Seriously, I thought 83.
He's been 74 since the day I was born.
He's just 74.
Wow.
Spry, clear-eyed, spring in his step.
It lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. Is this still CNN? I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were all.
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers last episode.
What? You don't take it so bad.
Well, that's the big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens. B-movie opens.
Can we get a resume in here for
B-movie
me?
B-movie opens
Larry
tomorrow. We'll be right back.
You playing that clip from underneath some fiberglass insulation?
Sharper than ever, and yes. Yes, we are.
He's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll have details on how you can buy tickets to both nights coming up in about 75 minutes from right now. And you know how wacky this place is?
Yeah.
They could go on sale at 7:30 this morning for all I know. So don't miss it, I think is what I'm telling you.
It could already be Oh, no, that doesn't make any sense.
Remember last year when they made you wait? Remember last year when they didn't tell you when they were going on sale? You just had to wait.
Yeah, remember that when they did that?
Oh, people love that.
Yeah,
people love when they did that.
Remember them that time that when they did that?
I sure do.
We also have tickets for you coming up next if you'd like to win them for free.
Ooh, better still.
We're going to make you earn them at 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Afro Line. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine, including just how much do you love us.
You guys all suck. Kevin sucks big time. Bean sucks enormously. Psycho Mike sucks voluntarily. Alex sucks professionally. And Lisa May sucks. Please?
Well done.
Wow.
Yeah, well done.
I'm impressed.
Wrote that out and rehearsed it, it sounded like.
Beautiful.
Ralph last week was going crazy because there were some fishermen in Japan that were killing some dolphins.
Yes.
Hayden Panettiere went over to try and stop them, and they put out, they were going to try and arrest her for that.
Yeah.
And Ralph was declaring war.
Damn it, Ralph. Haven't you seen the Simpsons episode where the dolphins take over Springfield? Why are you backing up these dolphins, man? They're about to take over the world, and the Simpsons know it, and now the Japanese know it, and you're making fun of them, man? Think about reality, dude.
That's a good point. He's got to think about reality.
It's an excellent point. But if you have to choose between dolphins and Hayden Panettiere, then I think you got to go with Hayden. I'm sorry.
I don't think you have to make that choice.
No, I don't think you do either.
I'm pretty sure. You know, LaQuisha likes to take a look at A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila.
Yes.
And that's what this guy's called.
Hey, guys, why don't you have your own radio reality show and have it called A Shot at Bean? But instead of trying to date him, we actually shoot at him with guns. I'm the first contestant.
Interesting.
I like it.
We may run out of games. That's just an idea.
Let me write that down.
Hi, this message is for Lisa May. I like it when your poop comes out. I like it when your poop comes out.
Come on.
I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it, I like it when your poop comes out. Hey, hey.
I'm not even sure what
he's
saying.
It's early for that. You don't want to know that.
Quite honestly.
Last week, we ran into some trouble with some people.
Could you be more specific?
Well, I mean, name it. You're
talking about the crazy Mormons?
Nope, not talking about them.
Crazy Japanese?
Not talking about them. Nope, not talking about
tiny little midgets?
The resident. Yeah, the midgets, I believe, were what Bean chewed up and spit out last.
Yes.
And Bean. This girl apparently is very drawn to that.
Oh, my God, Bean. That was so amazing. That is the best that you've been in so long. You just need somebody to hate, that's all. Because you will pick them apart. God, that was good. I need a towel.
She needs a towel.
People do like it when Bean hates.
And I was thinking about this over the weekend. When he hates the right people, it's fantastic. But see, what you don't know is he can't tell the difference.
That's true.
So there'll be a little kid in a line at a signing, and Bean will be cruel to them, and everybody will just cringe and go, oh, no, no. No, that's not the same as when you tear apart, can't tell the difference.
That's very
true. Did you ever think that maybe that little kid looks a lot like a midget? You ever think about that?
I'm just saying. Confused? I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. Just stand by. It's going to come at some point when it's inappropriate and not good. And
never
you're all going to go,
yeah.
Oh, what an a-hole. Why would he say that?
Exactly.
Can't tell the difference.
Don't piss off that dwarf, my friends.
Yeah.
Don't let her talk to Bean. Don't piss off that dwarf, my friends. Midgets can get mean.
Very well done. Maybe midgets ought to spend a little less time talking and a little more time serving drinks off trays on tops of their heads. You ever think about that?
I hadn't thought of it just that way, but it does seem to say it. Wednesday, we call it around here Black Wednesday.
Meredith.
Oops, I'm sorry. This is another midget call. I apologize. Then we'll get to Black Wednesday.
Meredith. Midget.
That's our listeners showing their sensitivity.
Butterball.
Oh, you don't have to tell us, man. We can't wait for Wednesday.
And we're right in the middle of Miss Double December right now. As a matter of fact, we're nearing the end of the opportunity for you to send in your picture. It is tomorrow at 10 a.m.
That's the cutoff?
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to be Miss Double December, and then you can have this set of you. Oops.
Miss Double December, I need to clean it for my computer screen now. All because of you assholes. You have to put things like that on there, and I have to look at it. Can't control my hand.
Yeah.
Bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
This is so weird.
That's our fault. We apologize for forcing you to do what it was you had to do and ruin your own computer.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
So if you want to be Miss Double December for 2008, now's the chance. As Kevin mentioned, the deadline is tomorrow at the end of the show. You can go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean section. You'll see the application form. We do ask you a few basic questions. We want you to be 21 and up. We want you to have actual double Ds. And we want you to send in a picture and fill out the entry. And this year, it's going to be bigger and better than ever because we're talking about doing a live show, I think, coming up on November 30th.
That's right.
Where we have a pageant with talent competition and the listeners get to vote. Oh, it's going to be great. And you get Kevin, tell them about all the stuff you get if you're selected.
Well, the first thing you get is to go to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas.
That's nice.
And then
that alone is worth it.
And then any time that we do an event, next year, for example, we've already lined up an event at the Playboy Mansion. So you'll get to come to that or
yes.
Any other events that we happen to do. We're also working on a Vegas trip next week. So you get to pretty much do everything we do. And the reason for that is we know we're not much to look at. Lisa, fine. The rest of us, not good. So we bring a hot chick there. Everybody looks at her. They assume we're hot without looking.
We provide the eye candy.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. So through tomorrow at 10 a.m., that's the cutoff for you to send in your picture. So if you want to do it or you know somebody who would want to do it, make sure that they're aware of it. Go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. Send in your photo. Fill out the information, and the vote will happen soon. We're going to put up the top 10 for that last caller.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put up the top 10 very soon.
Okay.
So all 10 of them for him.
Or you can win them right now with a little game we like to call Omaroki.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame.
What?
So we wish you luck because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
Well, you don't win, but you qualify to win. Unless
Why?
Only one person gets it.
Why do we keep going back to Omaroki, which is universally despised by the host of the show, by the listeners of the show, by Omar? Why
dude,
do we keep doing it?
I love this game, dude. I rock. Come on now.
Bean, that's our M.O. We go with stuff we and our audience hate. And
exactly.
I see. And the more hatred there is, I don't know why. It's like a death wish. The stronger we want to do it.
We just shove it down their throats.
We do, yeah.
That's what she said.
All right. So what's the deal here? Omar sings songs that will be performed. performed on one of the two nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Big songs by the bands that are going to be playing at the show this year, December 8th and 9th at the Gibson. And you identify it by title and artist. If you're right, you go into the drawing. And then what, at the end, you get your choice of which night you want to go to?
Nope, you get night one.
Okay. That's why I wanted to know up front what all the rules were. All right, so you get, that's what we're playing for, yes. Is night one today. So Omar is here. He'll be singing a song from a band on night one. And I think we're ready to meet our first contestant.
Yes. Now, you would think that if we were giving away tickets to night one, we would choose bands from night one.
You
no,
would.
No, no. Bands from either night, you win tickets. See, for night one. That's how we do it.
That's what confused me when I looked at the paperwork.
That's how we do it. That's just what they'd expect us to do.
This is crazy.
We zig.
Joe in Ontario.
Well, why don't we make it for your choice of nights? And that's what I don't
that's
understand.
That's fine with me,
Bean.
I would rather not argue with it on the air about that. So, yes, you can have your choice.
Mr. Asperger's.
Congratulations.
I just think that's better for the
take
listener,
your choice. It. You win. Yeah. Can we move on?
Both nights, yeah.
You're right. Joe is in Ontario. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Well, Omar does a voice. All right, Joe, I'd like to apologize up front because this is going to be torturous, but you got to give us the band and you got to give us the song title.
All right,
here you go. Omar, okay.
Far away, this chip is taking me far away. Far away from the memories of the people who care if I live or die.
By the way, by Omar standards, pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how are you going to make people wake up to that on a Monday morning of all things? Come on, O. It's
all right, Joe. Best.
Omar, that was beautiful. It was Starlight by Muse.
How about that? Nicely done. That
beautiful, almost, beautiful. That's what I'm talking
this
about.
This is beautiful. You were almost okay. And that's for you. That's a giant step up. You'll go into the drawing. Hang on, Joe. Let's go to Josh in Tarzana. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning, party people.
All right, you ready for your Omaroki?
I hope so.
Here you go.
Now here I go. Hope I don't break down. I won't take anything. I don't need anything.
I'd say that's probably enough.
Don't want...
That's, you know, that's... Seriously, if he doesn't know that by
all
now.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
You don't know that one. That's a tough one.
Not really. You're gay.
What show is he listening to on his radio, by the way?
Big Boy, of course.
We are going to need some sort of a guess here, Josh.
I'm going to tap out.
Tap out.
No.
Now here I go.
One of the all-time great bands, one of the all-time great songs. Mm-hmm.
Bad Religion Infected is what we were looking for. Let's try a girl. They're usually good with lyrics. We've got Melissa calling from Anaheim. Hey, Melissa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Sorry you're going to have to endure Omaroki, but it could win you tickets, okay?
Okay, cool. Hi, Bean. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi there. No hi, Omar.
No hi for me, huh?
No.
What the hell's wrong with you? I'm
you're
the
just,
guy singing.
She's heard you sing.
You're just a train monkey, my
Jesus
friend.
Jesus Christ, okay.
Sweetheart, bitter heart, now I can't tell you apart. Cozy and cook. Cozy and cold, put your horses before the cart. Those teenage hopes who have tears in their eyes, too scared
right,
to run
that's,
off
Omar,
to one
thank you.
Little
thank you, that's fine. That's fine.
Oh,
Omar, that's enough.
Oh,
Melissa, what do you think?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Oh, what is wrong with you?
That's not one. That's not a huge song like the last one, though.
But I was so dead on.
Sweetheart, bitter heart, now I can't tell you apart.
Yeah.
No. Melissa, we were looking for the Feist song, 1, 2, 3, 4. Very popular song here in K-Rock. I'm sorry. So far, it's just Joe who's in the drawing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to Chris in Whittier. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, party people. What's happening?
Hey, Chris.
Omaroki is happening, unfortunately. Here's your song.
So hear this, please, and watch as your heart speeds up endlessly, and look for the stars as the sun goes down. Each breath that you take has a thunderous sound.
That's enough. That's enough. That's enough. You don't want to sing a title, idiot.
I wasn't going to sing at all.
Chris.
Yeah, that was Angels and Airwaves with Magic.
Oh.
Everything you say is magic, or something
along
everything
is magic.
That's
there
close enough.
Tom, right. Tom, what you think of my performance?
Wow, my lyrics are pretentious and self-absorbed.
I don't know how many more Omarokis I can take, but I'm willing to try one more if you guys are.
All right, okay. Let's go to Robert in Chatsworth. Good morning, Robert.
Hello.
Wow.
So not Robert.
That's not Robert. Hi, what's your name?
Kathy.
Kathy, okay.
Okay.
Well, why do you call yourself Robert? That may just be a phone screener problem. I'm sorry. All right. Kathy, listen up. Omaroki, name, title, and artist. You're in the drawing to win the tickets.
It's It's a lie! A kiss with open eyes, and she's not breathing back! Anything but bothers me! It takes my pain away! Never mind! Mm. These are her read times!
Hey, Omar?
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Have you heard the song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Kathy.
Oh, man. I know that song. I just can't think of the artist.
Welcome to my life.
I'm shocked if you could identify that song based on his singing, but good luck.
I can't. I'm sorry.
That's Jimmy Eat World singing Pain. Sorry, Kath. So it's Joe and it's Chris. That's it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, speaking of pain, we can't go on.
How dare you? Everybody's going to have a great week because they started off Mondays with this.
Hey, let's all remember how we feel right now the next time in the meeting somebody says, I know, let's do Omaroki. Somebody needs to stand up and go, guys, seriously, remember what it was like at the end of the last one?
Winner is Chris and Whittier.
Chris and Whittier, the last guy we talked to. Chris, congratulations.
Sweet. Thank you very much.
You got tickets tonight? Which night? Which would you like?
night one.
Night one. Oh, congratulations. Perfect. You got them. That worked out well.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Why aren't more candidates dropping out of the race for president this year? Why are there still like 20 Republican people trying to get the nomination? What's up with that?
I think because we're still 2 years out.
Well, we're less than a year now. Oh. But it just seems like you've got to be, you know, most of these lower tier guys have got to be going, I'm just wasting money, right? I don't have a shot at the nomination. I mean, yeah. It's pretty much down to the three or four at the top, right, on the outside.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that most of them don't think they're not going to win anyway, but they would like to get their name out there, try to kind of maybe for next time.
I also think that anyone who actually runs for president
is nuts.
Is nuts and has no idea of their own personal limitations.
I mean, a guy like Ron Paul, at least, as crazy as he is, at least he can force a discussion in some of the debates about some areas that the other candidates aren't going to address at all. At least he can, you know, feel like he's making a difference.
Yes.
Then there's Reverend Speaker Gerald Pauly, who I'm looking at on the YouTube right now. Our pal up there in North Dakota, maybe the next president.
Greetings. I'm Speaker Gerald Pauly, an internationally known psychic working out of Bismarck, North Dakota. Through an incredible set of circumstances, God was visiting us for a while, a little while ago. And before he left, he made it known that he wanted me to make a bid for the presidency of the United States.
Well, believe me, he's got my vote. If I ever get the opportunity in a ballot box to write in the Reverend Speaker, I'm going to be doing it. And we've got him on the line along with his beautiful bride, Linda, on the phone from North Dakota right now. Good morning, the Pollies.
Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. You know, I'm watching your video on YouTube, which is very dynamic and very powerful. What is this? Is this in your living room, your bedroom? Where are you, Gerald?
Yeah, our living room.
Your living room.
In the living room. You got a big American flag draped on the wall. It's funny because, you know, a lot of candidates, they'd put on the suit and maybe clean up a little bit. But you look like you just rolled out of bed. You're wearing a dingy old T-shirt. is that the first image you want people to see when they tune into your video?
They want me to look like, you know, the guy next door, a good neighbor, a friend, you know, not somebody that's stuck up and, you know, in a position that he thinks he's powerful and,
I got you.
You know, that sort of thing.
So you're doing it on purpose. That's a look that you've cultivated.
Okay. You're the guy next door rather than some lame-o politician, right?
Right. I'm a fresh breeze. I'm an honest man. I'm somebody that's going to tell it like it is. I'm going to tell the people right up front what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a message for you guys.
Okay.
Joseph Smith wanted me to send you his special thanks for the Ask the Mormon segment the other day. He said it was very well done, and he appreciates it very much.
He should communicate that to some of his followers.
Because many of our Mormon listeners disagree with you. But that's great news. It's coming from him, yeah.
It's really, you know, nice when people present things in a nice way.
Well, we tried to do it as non-offensive and non-threatening as possible. It's just there are certain groups that aren't forthcoming on their own, so you got to kind of sometimes do an end around.
Right. Well, that's a good thing sometimes because you need to let people know, you know, that, you know, some of the stuff that you're doing looks pretty odd to people.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
true.
All we're saying is, yeah. Now, Gerald, let's get back to your campaign for a second. Last time we had you on was right after a very flattering article appeared in one of the newspapers. I think it was maybe the Bismarck Tribune. Has that caught your campaign on fire? Have you really seen a lot of interest so far since that article?
Oh, it's spreading like fire. It's getting everywhere. And we even found links to some of our stuff on a website in Japan.
Really?
Wow.
So you mean the entire...
Comments on blogs in Europe. And, it's really... And we even got a couple of Democrats.
No.
And one guy was saying, I'm fed up with the Democrats. This guy is one of the best Republicans I've ever seen, and
right.
Why aren't they pushing him instead of these other guys?
If you could get the votes of that guy and everyone in Japan, you'd do well.
Well, there's a lot of Japanese in the United States.
Oh, that's true, yeah. All right.
Okay.
They could be calling their relatives over here and say, hey, why aren't you supporting this guy?
Now, would you say that you're ahead of where you were last time? You're actually making great strides?
I believe we are making quite a bit of progress.
Okay, excellent.
We still have yet to get into any of the primaries, and that's because what we've got to do. I emailed to all the Republican governors yesterday, asking for help to get into the primaries, and then the primaries that didn't have governors, I mailed to the Republican parties in those states.
They do everything they can to keep the man down, though, don't they? I mean, they really are not—they're not inclusive. These two major parties are not looking for new blood.
No, they're not, and that's very difficult. They don't really want people that are going to speak out on the issues. They don't want people to say, we got to do something to fix the budget. If we haven't got an online veto, we've got to do the best we can and, not support the budget until we get what we want.
A line item veto?
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Yeah, because online's very different. You could just do that from your home. Wouldn't be a problem.
They're threatened by you, Gerald.
What about the debates? Have you heard anything about that?
No. We're trying, to get some people together so we can get some funds.
Oh,
right now,
I love
we have
that.
Some serious financial problems, but we're still working on things, and we get in touch with people, and like we sent out the thing to the veterans, and we got a couple of responses from that. And, people like what we're saying. But it's
across
just
the board.
A matter of getting, them all together, getting all these little bits and pieces together of people that like you on a lot of things. There might be one thing that one particular group doesn't like us on, but they like us on a whole lot of other things.
Right, no one's perfect, right?
Tough to get a consensus.
And that's the thing, that's the thing with every president and with every politician. He has to reach out to as many people as he can on the issues that, he can agree with them on, and he's never going to agree with everybody on everything.
Exactly.
Well, I just, the last note on this, Mr. Pauly, I want you to remember that don't be scared off by people who say you shouldn't talk about how you communicate directly with God. George W. Bush does the same thing. He has a conversation with God, and you do the same thing. So don't back off from that, all right?
No, that's one of the things that, like I say, we're right up front. We tell people what we are. Our website explains everything about us, and God is even speaking on it and endorsing me and telling people about a couple of problems and that they should make a difference.
Now, Gerald, we have an email from you that we find fascinating. First of all, you mentioned that your lovely wife, Linda, would like to apply to be Miss Double December.
For what?
Oh, yeah.
Gerald, you didn't know?
Did you not know, Gerald?
She was joking around about that.
Maybe not.
Hold on a sec. Let's hear from Linda. Linda, have you given some thought to the Miss Double December competition we have going on?
Yeah.
And?
I just thought it was a cute idea.
It is a cute idea. And the competition is still open, Gerald. We're not past the deadline yet. That's tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Oh, okay.
So, if you need to send a photo and fill out the questionnaire, we might have to...
It's at krock.com. You can go to the Kevin and Bean section and apply if you want, Linda.
Okay, thanks.
Now, the problem is, though, Linda, and we're very serious about you entering, but the problem is that you have... How do we explain this, Bean? The crown gets passed in the saliva. basically.
Right. That's how you become Miss Double December, is you kiss last year's Miss Double December. So you'd be making out with the beautiful Lauren if you were named Miss Double December. But
well,
from what
I'm afraid she wouldn't be named.
Oh, Gerald!
Well,
Gerald.
That's what I'm thinking. No, it's a conversation.
Don't steal that fun.
No, it's one kiss.
Don't be so close-minded, Gerald. This is for a whole year of raining.
No, that's something that we could not even consider.
Look, I know you've said that before, that God is against lesbians and gay people. We'd like to just exclude the lesbians and say he's all right with them.
Or maybe on the cheek or something. Mm, not on the
doesn't work.
It's not where the crown is, Gerald. Come on.
I suspect that Linda desperately wants to kiss a woman, and you're uncomfortable with that.
No, thank you.
Linda?
Definitely not.
Really? Linda. Have you ever? You've never thought of kissing a girl?
No way.
Mm.
Lisa does it all the time. She loves it.
Yeah, no big deal.
Well, some people are a little bit less sensitive than other people.
You know, it doesn't have to be a sexual thing, though.
Right.
You
it's understand? It's just the passing of the crown.
Yeah.
I would even be offended if I was to go over to Europe and some guy wanted to do that kissing on the cheek things.
Really?
I'd be very offended by that.
Wait, you mean the guys that do the hello on both sides of the cheek, that thing?
Yeah.
You'd be offended by
that? It's completely non-sexual,
Gerald. That would
make
me very, very nervous.
Well, that has no sexual connotation to it at all.
Well, it's just a matter of physical contact.
Yeah. Let's get back to Linda being the stubborn.
yes?
Linda?
I'm still here.
Come on.
You should apply, Linda. You should at least apply. You should at least send in a photo and fill out the questionnaire. I'd love to see your answers.
We'll just see how it goes. And then when we get to that moment where you're to be crowned, we can cross that bridge when we get to it.
Sure.
Well, probably by that time, we would be too busy campaigning.
That's possible, but...
Well, that is true.
But she might also be able to use the stage as Miss Double December for the whole next year.
Good point.
To help campaign, Gerald. There's nothing hot and bothered 22-year-old guys that are in the K-Rock audience want to listen to more than a woman who's Miss Double D talk about politics. Gerald.
You're going to have to start. You know what? You guys are a team. You're going to have to start using your wife to help you in the campaign, Gerald. You can't do it all.
I know, and we fully intend to, but there's limits.
All right.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's disappointing because
yes,
I was looking forward to the bathing suit shots, to tell you the truth. But apparently that's not happening.
Well, it definitely couldn't be a bikini.
Hmm. Okay.
No bikini. Okay.
Nude.
How dare you?
One piece.
Well, no.
One piece?
I figured
okay.
That's the way God made her.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Gerald, we're out of time. We're supporting the campaign. We advise everybody to go to YouTube and just type in the words Gerald Pauly. And, of course, we have a link to your site from KROQ.com. Is there anything else we can do for you between now and the next time we speak with you?
Keep talking about it. Keep telling people about it.
Be easier if we had a Miss Double December named Linda.
If you could get our suggestions to the writers' strike, we'd appreciate that.
Okay. You've given us a lot of suggestions on that. So
we'll see what we can do.
That's helpful, too.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day out there in North Dakota, and thank you, as always, for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We love you guys.
We always enjoy it. It's always fun.
Miss Double D.
Okay. Have a happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Thank you.
And to you as well, Miss Double December. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Monday morning.
While we are speaking with Mr. Oka, can we ask him what the F's wrong with Japan?
I'd rather not.
The war continues, by the way.
You don't mind. Really?
It's even heated up over the weekend.
Really?
The Hayden Panettiere
over the weekend?
Dolphin thing? What happened?
Well, there's that. They dared to issue an arrest warrant for the lovely Hayden Panettiere in Japan.
That's all there was.
Because she was trying to save dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then, over the weekend, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Japan has announced they're sending a fleet into the Antarctic to kill more than 1,000 whales. Have you read this story?
No. Why are they doing that?
Including 50 humpback whales.
Are there just too many whales for their taste?
They are only saying it's part of a scientific mission, they're claiming.
They say that every year, and then they go out and do this.
They go out and they slaughter whales.
Is it just for food?
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. I don't know why they need to kill whales. Grow some corn or something if you're hungry. Do something else. Do anything else, Japan.
There are options.
Then murder whales and dolphins. Maybe start a salmon farm or something. Do something other than killing, especially humpback whales, which are an endangered species, by the way.
Wow, that's odd.
And then this news today.
There's more?
That Velvet Revolver has to cancel its tour of Japan.
Right.
Because the immigration officials in that country decided that the band members were too violent and had too many drug offenses, so they will not issue them visas to come to Japan.
Wow.
Wow.
So the Velvet Revolver tour of Japan has been canceled.
Good. They don't deserve them anyway, bastards.
Lisa had half a mind to pull that tour before they even made that announcement.
Exactly. Give Scott a call and say, nuh-uh. meanwhile, the Australian leg of the tour is still going on because Australia will let anybody in.
Yes,
God bless them.
They're good that way.
But, yeah, so Velvet Revolver not performing in Japan. Neither will be the Wales, the new band called the Wales. Either they won't be performing there because they'll be dead. Freaking Japan. I'm serious. I've had an ass full of Japan. I mean, I knew I was kidding in the past, but now I'm just done. I'm just fed up with Japan.
Right, but my point is you can't judge a whole people then by the government.
Will you look at the evidence staring you in the face?
No, but I'm saying, you know, we don't want to be judged by George W. Bush, do we? Do you want to be judged by George W. Bush?
Alas, we are.
But
alas, we are, my friend.
I'm saying, is it fair? No.
No, but that's the world we live in. The world isn't fair. Death to Japan.
I don't know why Kevin's defending killing humpback whales.
I don't know why he likes murdering whales, dolphins, and he doesn't like Velvet Revolver, but apparently that's Kevin.
None of that's true.
Great. I work with one guy who's pro-rape. Another guy who's pro-killing whales. Nice. This is my world. This is my world. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Beowulf.
My name is Beowulf, and I'm here to kill your monster.
$28 million it made this weekend, making it number one by far at this weekend's box office. 40% of that money was made via the 3D version of Beowulf. So this is saying this is the first real indicator that digital 3D medium is a viable movie concept. And you'll be seeing many more of these movies. They're gonna re-release a bunch of new movies, apparently, in 3D.
Really?
Off of the success of Nightmare Before Christmas 3D, which made more money in the 3D version than it did the original release when it was just 2D. Yeah. So they're going back, and they're going to do that to a bunch of animated films. So we'll
kept reaching out to try and grab Angelina Jolie, and it just was almost there. And then I'd get the guy in front of me.
Even at the opening of the film, where the Paramount logo comes up and the stars are flying through the sky, they're like right in your face. It's just freaky cool.
Very cool looking.
Yeah, so you might want to check that out. B Movie was number two at the box office. Jerry's
is it in 3B? oh, man.
Whoa.
That hurt.
American Gangster was number three. Fred Claus was number four. Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
It's magical.
Was number five at the box office.
Lisa's looking for a Christmas movie. Can you recommend one?
She thought that was a Christmas movie.
She looked through all the
lists.
Dan in real life.
There was really nothing about Christmas there.
No North Pole for old men. No.
I think that's a Christmas movie.
Lions for Reindeers. No, that's not it.
It's not a Christmas movie.
No.
Is there any about, I don't know, Santa? Santa's family?
Saw You While You're Sleeping Four?
No.
That's not it.
Yeah, I'd see a movie with Santa.
Love in the Time of Frostbite? No, that's not a Christmas movie.
Wow, it's too bad she can't find one.
Yeah.
She can go
Maybe
see
they'll
it.
Make one before the end of the year.
A movie about Santa Claus's brother.
That'd be
Claus
great.
In the title, and then you could say that's a Christmas movie.
His brother, but maybe.
Christmas movie. Rather. Jennifer Aniston has a new boyfriend.
Oh.
Who?
According to British magazine Closer, apparently she is dating Jason Lewis. Are you familiar with Jason Lewis?
No.
Lisa?
Is he from Sex and the City, that really hunky dude?
Bingo!
And was on Brothers and Sisters Sunday nights.
Stop it with the Brothers and Sisters.
He's beautiful.
Jason Lewis played the young male model that Samantha hooked up with on Sex and the City, and the girls just think he's dreaming.
Oh, he is.
Okay.
So, good for you, Jennifer.
Yeah, nice score.
Wow. Actor Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, you familiar with his work?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, is in The Tudors over there on Showtime, a great series where he plays Henry VIII, a young Henry VIII. He's got a new movie coming out called August Rush as well. He was arrested Sunday in Ireland for being drunk and abusive in an airport.
They arrest you in Ireland?
Can you believe that, for being drunk?
For being drunk?
I would figure that was the one charge you could skate on in that country.
Last safe haven for being drunk and out of order.
Apparently he was trying to fly to London on the British airline BMI, and he got stopped at the gate. They asked him to calm down. He didn't.
Hmm.
And then he got popped on two counts of violating the Public Order Act.
Wow.
What's that?
That's don't be drunk in public.
Okay.
That's what that is. Here's the thing. He was admitted to a rehab clinic in April.
Checked out a month later,
and apparently not doing so well.
He shouldn't go to Ireland.
That's probably the one place he should not go.
You know, he said when he was when he was getting out of rehab that he felt socializing in his home country of Ireland restrictive because of its hard-drinking pub culture. He said it's kind of hard to be social there
because
it all revolves around alcohol.
Does.
So apparently he fell off the wagon and got arrested on Sunday. But, you know, I can see why he's upset, because he's trying to find his kid, and they had to split up. His kid, you know, is playing guitar, and Robin Williams is spending a lot of time with him and stuff, so that must be bothering him.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's a movie reference I don't get.
Yeah. This movie, August Rush, he's got coming out. That's what's about. Him and Carrie Russell from Felicity.
Hey, Ralph, that's just a movie.
What? It takes the sting out of it when I have to explain it to you first before you say that.
Ahead of time, yeah.
Ralph, you've been to Ireland, right?
Oh, have I?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Sounds like the place for you.
I love that country so much.
I got to tell you, I've been there too, and you go into any pub, and you are welcomed as if it's your family that loves you unconditionally.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
They are the friendliest people on the planet. They really are.
Because they're drunk.
Yes. How dare you?
That's correct.
Mandy Moore's got a new boyfriend, too.
Mandy Moore, I love her.
It's me.
Star Magazine reports it is not Dave the King of Mexico.
Oh, well, sure.
But rather is instead Matthew Perry from Friends.
Really?
Oh, hmm.
Mandy says that she's had a crush on Matthew ever since she was a young girl.
Since she was four.
And she even asked him out when she was 17.
Wow.
But Matt turned her down, saying she was too young. But now that she's 23 and he's 38, Matt apparently feels more comfortable dating her.
Just right.
Let's see, Matthew Perry, King of Mexico. Matthew Perry, King of Mexico.
Same thing, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
This is kind of like Katie Holmes had a... Didn't she have a poster of Tom Cruise on her bedroom wall when she was a little
Mrs.
girl?
Mrs. Tom Cruise, yeah.
Yes.
Careful what you wish for.
That's right. And this is kind of cool. Nicole Richie and Joel Madden had their big baby shower over the weekend.
Okay.
It was star-studded, as you can imagine.
That is cool.
Could you just wait? Wait?
There's more?
Not the point.
Exciting story.
As you can imagine, they were getting a ton of gifts and whatnot for the baby. But they've started a foundation called the Richie Madden Children's Foundation. And they're urging their friends to donate the cribs and the other baby necessities they would give the young couple to this charity organization instead, so that mothers who don't have the funds for basic care for their kids can be the beneficiary of those gifts.
That's very nice.
How about that?
It's kind of surprising coming from someone who seems so self-involved as Nicole Richie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But apparently they have started this foundation up. So if you want more information, you can go to the Richie Madden Children's Foundation, look it up on the web, and they can tell you how you donate. But it's pretty cool, I think.
It's a cool idea.
She said she started it because she wants her child to be proud of her. And
well,
so this is a way, I guess, to give back to the community.
That and eat a little.
What she should eat if she wants her kid to be
yes.
proud of her? Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I don't have time for it, but I got to tell you about Amy Winehouse's manager and why he quit. It's a fascinating story.
Oh, no, he quit.
Come back in an hour, and we'll talk about Amy Winehouse and how spectacular she is. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jodie Foster, very talented Oscar-winning actress. She's 45 years old today. Meg Ryan turns 46. Allison Janney from The West Wing, she is 47 years old today. And Larry King, the king of late-night talk shows.
Oh, he's so good.
Midnight talk shows are around 6 o'clock in the afternoon talk shows. 74 years old today he is. 74.
Yep.
Just keeps getting better with age. That's the thing about Larry.
Doddering old fool since he was 30.
How dare you?
What's with the poll?
Could a doddering old fool ask that question? No, I put to you.
Does he know the names of the Beatles?
Sure he does.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, in my home in Sussex.
Somebody called you?
Yeah. My manager at the time called me. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George?
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you?
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George
I was.
No, you weren't, Larry.
Shut up, it's my turn.
I know, but you've got your name wrong.
I know,
on national television.
Break.
We can't
anyway,
cut it. It's
I was in the Bahamas.
It's live. We can't cut it. Paul McCartney just busting his balls. You gotta love that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hit it, Steve.
No.
Where is it? That's what I'm talking about. Come on, Kevin, the call is Wednesday. Why do you hate?
I hate because it's bad on every level, that's why.
Thanksgiving.
Plus, my Sioka's gonna come on the line.
Turkey things are gonna happen.
He likes it, we call the Butterball Turkey Highlight.
Gobble.
Gonna hear this and hang up.
Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Thanksgiving cooks behind a tree.
I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window pane.
Carla, go!
Vamos.
What we're referring to is it's Monday now of Thanksgiving week, and Wednesday we make the annual phone call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline. The kids love it, and America loves it, but for some reason, Kevin is a hater.
All right, we have Masioka on the line talking about tonight's heroes.
And that's fine, and I'm excited to talk to Mr. Oka. I'm a big fan of his and his show, but I'm just saying I want people to know that Wednesday morning we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. See, we play a farmer trying to catch a turkey, Kevin.
Mondays at 9 o'clock on NBC, Masioka. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys.
So glad to have you.
How you been, Masi?
Hi, thank you. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Doing fine. Been seeing a lot of you in the news. You were quite the popular person to be interviewed in the magazines and in the photos. It must be very strange for you to be such a big star now.
Really? It is definitely strange to wake up in the morning and hear about it from your friends and stuff. It's like winning a lottery, and I'm just so grateful and happy to be working. In this town, it's so hard.
Sure. And what's fascinating about you, Masi, and I don't think we've talked to you about this in the past, is you were working for ILM, right? You were working for the George Lucas Company, working in special effects, right?
Yes.
And you worked on War of the Worlds and Star Wars and movies like that. What do you do with that? You must have enjoyed that. What do you do with that that creative outlet now that you don't do that anymore?
I absolutely enjoyed it, and hopefully I'll get a chance to use it in the future, hopefully on behind the scenes, when I get a chance to direct or even as an actor, you kind of get to use it on Heroes too, which is kind of cool.
Now, tell us where we are in tonight's Heroes exactly, because it's starting to all get away from me.
Well, it's all actually, in some sense, it's actually all starting to come together. You'll see the purpose of everyone's storylines. They're starting to converge very slowly. You'll see a very interesting scenes between. Between Claire and you got Claire, L, HRG. Those kind of storylines are coming together. Hero starts to come back to the present now,
right?
And learns what he has to do, and learns more about his father, and comes face to face with him as well. So,
yeah, Hero had some bad news when he came back from feudal Japan. I guess Ando has to kind of bring him up to speed with everything he's missed while he's been gone.
Yeah, and it was a big slap in his face, I guess. So, he's been going through a lot of ups and downs. So, like, he finally had his moment of up, coming back, and then all of a sudden, he leaves, shot back down.
We have a clip here.
Hiro, omae no tōsan, nakunatta. Korosareta nda.
I don't know what they're saying, but that music sounds very serious.
It's interesting. I guess the audio clips don't really work on radio.
No.
I believe that is the scene where Hiro finds out that his father's dead. But here's the thing, though, Masi. Because you have the ability, your character has the ability to time travel, can you now go back and try to prevent that from happening, or does that screw up the space-time continuum if you do that?
Well, yes. It's always going to screw up the space-time continuum. In fact, just him going back in time, anytime he does that, But sometimes emotions just run high, especially, when it's someone you love. So, we'll see what happens. There's always consequences to action.
That's true.
And with Hero stuff, going back in time, it's going to have big consequences.
What did you think of all the time that Hero spent in feudal Japan? Was that something that was fun for you, to be doing the sword fighting and the riding horses and, the light and fires and all that other cool stuff you got to do?
For me, it was definitely a lot of fun. I grew up on watching samurai and ninja films, like as kids here would watch westerns. So it was a lot of fun. I wish there was a lot more sword fighting. It was definitely like a prolonged love story, a Cyrano de Bergerac kind of story.
Right.
It was very fun. But for me, the exciting thing about that time, of course, was a lot of the horse riding, the sword play, the upsummon, all that kind of stuff. So
I wish there was more of that. You're more of a fighter than a lover, is what you would say.
I love them both.
Okay.
I love fighting for love.
Nice.
Masioka's on the line. We're talking about, of course, Heroes, another new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. Now, your show is one that I have read about has been very deeply affected by this writer's strike. Now, they've kind of retooled the episode that's airing on December 3rd to kind of be the end of the year, right?
Yes, unfortunately, just in case, it's like a continuous class.
Right.
We shot an alternate ending. Unfortunately, that also affected any scripts we had that were stocked up.
Right.
So, we actually shut down production on November 9th.
So how many do you have tonight's, and then how many do you have left over?
We have three left.
Three left.
Three left.
Year. Wow.
If the strike comes back, hopefully very soon, we'll still be able to do a couple more episodes for Volume 3, but definitely we won't have 24 episodes this season.
I got
right.
You.
And what are you doing? Are you taking advantage of this time to work in movies and stuff?
Fortunately, I am working on a movie and possibly doing my own project. I'm writing on spec for my own stuff and developing stuff while I can and making the best of it, But I
no kidding.
It really hurts the writers and not only the writers but mostly our crew.
Yeah,
because they have nothing to win from this SIS strike. It's definitely a lose-lose situation for them. So I really hope it gets resolved quickly. It affects our economy so greatly.
Right, certainly.
To the janitors, to the flower people, the dry cleaning. It's amazing the effect that this has.
Hey, Mossy, here's what I wanted to ask you. If I'm you and I'm a big TV star and I'm working on Heroes, I'm spending all of my time trying to nail Kristen Bell. I mean, aren't you?
Kristen's an awesome person, and she's a, what can I say, she's a free spirit. She's a great friend, So,
she's way hot, though.
She's really hot. She's really smart. She's very talented.
And hot.
She's hot.
Okay, good.
Does she like the Japanese guys?
I don't know.
Oh,
she likes all kinds of guys.
Boss, you got to go for that, dude. Seriously. You got the opportunity. You got to go be a hero is what I'm saying to you. Don't let this opportunity. She's single now. Dude, you've got to do it.
Oh, she's really cool.
Listen to him. Well, I recommend it. That's what I'm saying to you, I guess.
Okay.
The show is back for another new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. And you could tell as of last week's episode that exactly what Masioka said is true, that the storylines are starting to heat up and come together as only Heroes can do. And I'm really looking forward to tonight. It looks like it's going to be a really, really good episode, dude.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye now.
I was watching that American Music Awards. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel was the host last night on ABC, and Gene Simmons was there. In fact, he gave out the last award of the night. And you could see as they would pan to him in the audience that he was thinking to himself, I could have any woman in this room. Seriously, Beyonce, I could have you. Fergie, mine. You can just see it on his face. So we'll ask him if he hit any of that last night after the show, because we've got him coming up here in just a couple of minutes on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, the announcement you've been waiting for. By now you know that the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007 is happening Saturday and Sunday nights, December 8th and 9th at the Gibson Amphitheater. What you have not heard until right now is how and when you can buy your tickets.
Here's the information. You can buy your tickets 2 days before the show on Thursday night, December 6th. Both nights go on sale. Night number one goes on sale at 5 p.m.
Okay.
And then the next night, Sunday night, goes on sale at 6 p.m.
Oh.
So you can try for one night and then try again for a second night if you want. That way, they're not both going on sale at the same time.
Good.
December the 6th, by the way, is 2 weeks from Thursday. 2 weeks from Thursday and two nights before the first show at the Gibson Amphitheater. Both nights going on. I think it's the first time they've both gone on sale at the same time, isn't it?
On the same date? I don't know.
Seems like it, yeah.
5 p.m. for night number one, 6 p.m. for night number two, and there are two different things this time. One is you can only buy tickets online. That's the only way to buy tickets. Where did my music go? There we go. Excellent. Buy tickets only online. You cannot line up, and you cannot do it on the phone.
Okay.
We're guessing 95% of the tickets are sold that way anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And
you
have to be a K-Rock Street Team member to buy the tickets.
Oh, so you have to go online now and sign up.
Yes, you sign up. It's free for the K-Rock Street Team, and then we'll send you a password that you will need. So if you go on Thursday, December 6th, and you get through to Ticketmaster and you don't have the password, not so much going to be able to buy the tickets.
Yeah.
You have to be
sooner's better.
K-Rock Street Team member. We will send you the password. You will have it. And then at 5 o'clock on Thursday, December 6th, night number one, 6 o'clock Thursday, December 6th, night number two.
Okay.
So that's new this year. Street Team member, it is free and takes about, 45 seconds to register to be a Street Team member, but you will need that password to buy your tickets online. Tickets, by the way, same price as last year, just $75 each. Of course, there are the Ticketmaster service fees beyond that, for depending on whether you get them mailed to you or you print them out.
Hang on. Okay. Back to you.
But all of that information is up at krock.com. As usual, limit of two tickets per person. And that's about it. Benefits this year, the Parlos Niños and the Al Wooten Junior Heritage Center. We've been happy to raise a lot of money for them over the years. The wheelchair accessible seats are going on sale at the same time. And all these details are up at krock.com. But the important information that you need is night number one goes on sale 5 p.m. on Thursday, December 6th. That's 2 weeks from Thursday. Night number two goes on sale at 6 p.m. Thursday, December 6th. So that's the deal.
All right. Friday morning, we were talking with our intern, Beer Mug.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, hey, Mug. Beer.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Wait,
beer.
Is he Mug or is he Beer?
He's both. You know.
Okay.
When I look at him, I see Beer.
All right.
So he's telling us about a wedding that he was going to be in over the weekend. And Mug, how would you summarize your conversation with us on Friday morning about the wedding?
I was pretty bummed because it was this guy's getting married is one of my close friends.
Right.
And no one likes the bride.
No one.
Nobody likes the bride, really? Including
That's
myself.
Tough. Like none of your friends, none of his friends.
None of my friends, none of his family.
None of his family.
How long have they been dating?
No. I'd say about a year and a half.
Year and
and
a half
you probably all thought at the beginning, wow, he's going to wise up. Clearly, at least this one's going to break out and we won't have to worry about it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, that's what we thought. And unfortunately, it didn't end up like that.
Yeah. So he says to you, he says, I'm getting married. And you say to him,
I say, you can't do it. You cannot go through with this. None of us like her. She.
Wow. Now, wait a minute. You said
you
that,
did that
out loud.
I told him I had a heart to heart with him. I said, you can't go through with this. You're a very different person when she's around. And she always has like a tight grip around you. And you're not the guy I hung out with in high school. You're not the guy that, you know, is enjoyable to hang around.
And what did
you know?
He say?
He said, I know, but I really love her, man.
And hey, that's a tough one to win somebody over because, you know, people believe their heart.
Yeah.
People believe, you know, the heart wants what it wants. And for God's sakes, Heidi married Spencer, and everybody told her that was a bad idea.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I'm just saying.
Dear God, that's your first example is the Hills.
I'm saying I take all of my romantic advice from the Hills. Yes, but you can talk all day, but the more you try to push him away from her, the more he thinks that's what he wants. Oh, right?
What a shame. So at some point on Friday, Mug was just walking around, just depressed. So I thought, you know what? I'll turn this into a money making opportunity for Mug.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you $500 if you object at the wedding.
Oh, you did not.
$500 cash.
You did not.
Oh, you know, I do that every day, Evan, for whatever reason.
It's your best friend, right? Or
it's
a
my
really
best friend.
Good friend?
But I wasn't asking him to say something that he didn't believe or didn't think
well,
was true.
I know, but...
And I think Kevin hit that soft spot with me being Jewish. I love money.
So he paused for a minute and he thought about it for a minute. I was like, wow, he's actually considering this. This is great. So Ralph came walking into the room and I said, Ralph, I got $500 on Mug to stand up and object at the wedding. Ralph said, I'll match it.
$2,000 at that
$1,000. And
wow.
Then Mug started really thinking it through. Like, what if they don't offer that? Because now I think ceremonies used to offer that all the time. I don't think they do anymore.
Right. Most don't. Most ceremonies no longer. And for folks who don't have any idea what we're talking about, it used to be, and it is still common in some places, where at one point in the ceremony, the minister would say, is there anyone who has any reason why this couple should not be married? And the reason they would do that is to give somebody a last second opportunity to stand up and go, he's a felon. He has a fake name. Here's something you don't know about him. It was supposed to be in case it was an illegal wedding. He's already married to someone else. Those sorts of things is what was supposed to come out of that. But I think because of a-holes like you, Kevin, they now take that out of the ceremony and they don't want to give people the opportunity to have, you know, have someone in the congregation stand up and go, she's fat, dude. You know, that's what they're trying to avoid.
I'm an a-hole because I'm trying to save Beer Mug's best friend's life. That's why I'm an a-hole.
I'm just saying when it gets time to actually say I do, maybe it's too far past the point of that conversation being held.
So we're up to $1,000.
$1,000 at that point.
And Mug is seriously thinking about this. And Psycho Mike walks in. And Psycho Mike says, I'll throw in 100, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm not as rich as these guys. I got at least 100 on
so
it.
We're up to 1,100. And then I think the King of Mexico threw in 10.
Really?
$10, so 1,110. And then Lightning, I think, threw in 50. So 1,160. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to call my man Bean. I guarantee Bean will be in on this. So we call up Bean, and he picks up the phone, and we tell him, and he says, guys, I'm out. Like, what?
You didn't throw in some cash?
I don't think I want any part of this.
I was like, what?
I don't know. To me, if it's Mug's best friend, that's a conversation you don't have in front of friends and family,
right,
in a church. I think you take your last best effort the morning of
already
or something,
did it.
And then you go, well, I'm sorry, if he's gonna do it, he's gonna do it.
Well, here's that part you missed, Bean. Kevin actually wanted me to say the conditions of the bet.
Well, wait a minute. When we started, like, working out exactly what needed to be done, and by the way, then we hung up on Bean because he's a pussy. So it was up to what, 1260?
1260, okay. It was the top.
Lightning pitch in. So we had $1,260. And he said, what if they don't offer an opportunity for somebody to object? I said, raise your hand.
How funny would that be?
Because he's in the wedding party. He's in the guy's...
So he'd be standing right up there.
Yeah. So I said, just raise your hand. And everybody will look at him like, what the hell? Why does he have his hand up? And then the minister would finally stop and say, what?
He'd have to.
He
right?
would have to, right?
That's yeah. funny.
And
then what were you going to make poor Mug say in front of his friends, family, and his lord?
Only five words for $1,260.
Yes.
I object. She's a bitch.
Now, and then what does that do to Muggs' relationship with his best
friend?
Okay,
here's how I explained it to Muggs, because we had this conversation. All of his friends feel this way. So he's going to be a hero to his friends.
Right.
The guy's family feels this way.
Yeah.
The only people that will be upset with Mug will be people that, like, flew in that support her.
Right.
Right? Uh-huh. Who he's never going to see again. So he's going to be a hero to all of his friends and family. Obviously, it's going to strain his relationship between he and his best friend until they get divorced, which will happen within a year because she's a bitch. Boom, he comes back to him and says, you were the only one looking out for me.
Yeah,
everything works. He's got $1,260. Bam!
That is true.
Come on!
So,
how did it go? Give me a timpani, Bean. Give me some kind of a drum roll.
$1,260.
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
Oh!
I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
Really?
There was too many people there. It was too big of a conversation.
So
too much money spent on the wedding for me.
So you didn't care about your friend.
The reason you couldn't do it, my friend, is you weren't drunk enough yet.
That's exactly the problem.
Why were
beer,
you not drinking?
You
I should have known
it.
That. I should have had somebody just give him one shot. That's all it takes for beer.
He'll do anything.
Well, you guys know I shaved and I got clean cut. I just couldn't. I had to act the part of the wedding party.
You're the man now. That's who you are. You're the man.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby! Baby, want a bottle? A big dirt bottle?
Sorry, Bean.
I don't even know what that means, a big dirt bottle. What does that mean?
I don't know, but Mug is a disappointment to the world, apparently.
Yes, he is.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
I am Ralph Garman, and I'm here to do your Showbiz Beat.
That sounds like Beowulf.
Oh, really?
Or if Dave, the King of Mexico.
I came up with that.
Beowulf.
Beowulf.
That's Beowulf.
Number one at the box office this weekend. Beowulf slayed the competitions.
No, you didn't.
Much like he slayed Grendel in the film. By the way, I realized I was watching the film Grendel and Kevin. Same guy. They talk the same way. same way. I've just seen the film. Yeah, not, but Kevin and Grendel the monster.
Come on.
Exact same speech pattern.
Grendel.
Let me hear some Grendel.
You can't understand a word he's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, is he the one that Crispin Glover does the voice for?
Yes. And you have no idea what he's saying.
You can watch his mouth and not know.
Mother, it's
Kevin in Vegas. That's what Grendel is. Exact same voice.
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
Well, all right.
I think we actually have a clip.
Do we? Same exact voice.
There he is.
Grendel and Kevin. Same thing. Yeah. Number one at the box office by a long shot. $28 million it made this weekend.
That is amazing. You can take a story that was written in about 700 AD and turn it into a movie and have it be number one in 2007.
I'm surprised Kevin went, given how he feels about old things.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie, not old.
Not old.
No.
She's covered with gold.
There's a golden bodied Angelina Jolie through the whole movie.
Yes.
Not bad.
And she's some sort of half lizard, half woman chick. And she's got high heels built into her feet. That's the best part. I'm quite sure they managed that, but she had like tentacles coming out of her heels that make her look like she's walking on high heels. It's pretty spectacular.
And hoots of gold.
She does have hoots of gold. B-Movie was number two at the box office, made $14 million. American Gangster was right behind that at number three with $13 million. Fred Claus, the feel-good holiday smash hit of the season, made $12 million this weekend. Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium.
No, I'm not doing it.
Come on, Lisa.
Come on.
It's magical.
It's magical.
It's magical.
It's Natalie Portman and Dustin Hoffman, was number five at the box office, made $10 million in its debut. Dan in Real Life was number six, then No Country for Old Men, the Coen Brothers film, followed by Lions for Lambs, Saw 4, and Love in the Time of Cholera.
Boo.
Really, what a surprise.
That Bean went
boo.
To see and did not care for one whit.
So boring.
What a surprise.
Howard K. Stern. Mm-hmm. Remember him?
Sure.
Anna Nicole Smith's buddy. Told an interviewer for Us Weekly magazine that although it's widely believed he's cashing in on her death, he says he's in debt, broke, and owes hundreds of thousands of dollars to his parents.
Sure.
Geez, I wonder how you could rectify that. Although, get a job!
No kidding.
You're a freaking lawyer. Practice some law.
By the way, the fact that he's waiting around for that judgment money and hasn't received it yet doesn't mean that that's not what he's doing.
No, of course.
I mean, come on.
He just hasn't cashed in yet. But
it's still in the courts for hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars.
Don't bitch about how broke you are when all you did was act as a sycophant to Anna Nicole Smith for 10 years.
Yep.
Right. You had been, you know, had your own law practice or something. You wouldn't owe your parents thousands of dollars, which is pathetic at your age, you freak.
He ought to say, you know what, I had a free ride for 10 years, but that's over. Now right. I got to start supporting myself.
I got to go flip burgers, in the words of Lightning. Writers Guild strike still going on. This is just bad. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now it's starting
Meetings yet, Ralph?
No, no meetings.
They still haven't settled that, huh?
No. It's affecting not only television, but now the motion picture industry as well. Daily Variety newspaper reports today that Ron Howard's latest film, Angels and Demons, the sequel to Da Vinci Code, has shut down production. They're not going to be moving forward on filming that. And Oliver Stone had a new movie called Pinkville.
Oh, hey now.
Which has also been shut down.
I rented that over the weekend. That's already done.
No, it's a different movie. This is about
that
the...
was Pinktown you saw.
Oh, it's the My Lai Massacre, apparently, this film's about.
Oh,
not as good.
That's way different.
Well, they should call it Yellowville.
Not nearly as good.
Oh, come on. Dare you, sir.
What? I'm just
the hell?
Saying.
You think Oliver Stone? Think Oliver Stone will ever get over the whole Vietnam thing?
No.
Clearly
not.
He's sure carrying a torch. So yeah, that's bad news for movie fans. However, when God closes the door, he opens a window.
Yeah.
Because Bruce Willis won't be starring in Pinkville, Variety says he has signed on to do a sci-fi thriller called The Surrogates, which sounds pretty cool. It's about a future in which humans live apart from each other, in total solitude, and they only have contact through robots, which are basically better-looking versions of themselves that carry around their personalities.
So, wow.
That's Bean's idea of heaven.
It is.
Sure is.
You don't have to actually meet anyone. You can just send your robot out to do your bidding for you.
Psycho Mike would never send him out. He would just let him pose for himself and just go, wow, I look good.
That's right. Mike would never leave his robot clone alone. He'd just be humping it all the time and making out with it, weightlifting together, just... Probably somebody who could stand Psycho Mike would be Psycho Mike's robot clone.
That's true.
Mike is suggesting, by the way, I don't know if you guys got the memo or not that's going around K-Rock, that we only for Christmas buy him pictures of him. He would just like framed photos of Mike is all he's requesting this year.
I'm just getting him a mirrored sunglasses, but the mirror's face in.
Okay, there you go.
Instead of going out, so when he puts them on, he can just look at himself all the time.
Amazing.
Yeah. No one would be more happy.
That would
be
great. If you have sex with your robot double, is that gay? If it's you?
Does it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's a robot, but
if it's you, what if it's like your clone? If you clone yourself and you have sex with yourself,
are you cloned in every way?
Is that gay?
No,
I think that's gay.
No, because you have sex with yourself every day.
That's what I'm thinking. Anyway. It's sort of like masturbation, isn't it?
But if it's a robot,
if you have sex with your robot clone.
If you're going to have sex with a robot, why wouldn't you have sex with a hot chick's robot?
I'm not saying it's mutually exclusive. Okay. Can't you have both? But what if you have your clone or your robot at home and you get home and you're a little loaded and you get drunk and you have yourself?
No.
Is that gay?
Not gay. No
I'm
way.
I'm going to say no.
Wait a minute. Pitching or catching?
I don't know.
Makes a difference.
One of you's doing one and one of you's doing the
difference.
Other.
All right. You're pitching and the robot's catching.
I think then you're just barely okay.
It's just barely okay.
Just barely.
Because it's not somebody. I don't have sex with another man.
Nope.
You're having sex with yourself, basically.
Right, but...
just saying.
I don't know. I'm out. Either way, I'm out.
It's like masturbation plus. Masturbation deluxe is what I like to call it. New and improved masturbation from people at Mattel. And Amy Winehouse is just a mess.
This is a mess.
She just blows.
What's going on with her?
Well, did you see her? She walked off stage. She was booed off stage the other night because she was so loaded up she couldn't sing her lyrics. And everyone started
screaming at the audience.
Started screaming at them like, you'll be sorry and you don't know what you're talking about and F you and just cut short her concert. Yeah. And also her husband, of course, was thrown into the clink. He's got some drug issues.
Right.
Now her tour manager has quit on her.
you know, largely, he says, because of the meltdown she had on stage where she cussed at all her fans and fell repeatedly on stage, too, by the way.
Can you imagine trying to get her from show to show?
It's not a positive sign.
Yeah, he said it was a nightmare job,
yeah,
and he'd finally had it. But what made things worse is that he recently had a blood test and found that he had heroin in his bloodstream. Now, Tom Stone, the name of the tour manager, does not do heroin. But his doctors speculate that he passively inhaled it from Amy and her husband, from being around Amy Winehouse and her husband.
Can you do that?
Apparently, they smoke so much smack that he passively inhaled the secondhand smoke and had heroin in his own bloodstream because being around them is akin to a contact high with heroin.
Jeez.
Now the politicians are going to come after us to try to get us to cut down on secondhand heroin.
Secondhand heroin smoke.
Come on.
That sounds shaky.
So he's,
I know they do a lot of heroin and all, but quit. That sounds shaky.
But that's how much they do, is that if you're around them, you'll inhale it passively. Secondhand heroin smoke.
Wow.
And you ended up in your bloodstream. Probably don't get the benefit of the high, but you just have a presence of it in your bloodstream. Mm. So.
I think tattoos spontaneously develop if you're hanging out with Amy Winehouse, too.
Cuts split open on your skin. You start right. Wearing bad eye makeup.
Wake up with a beehive.
Lose a tooth.
It's rough.
It's a horrible experience to be around.
She is rough.
Foul. Foul. And then you look at somebody like Lily Allen, you know, another British songstress. Uh-huh. And just so cute and adorable. You just want to eat her like a muffin. Very different character. Very different
that
character.
Was a double feature with Pinkville, by the way.
I believe it was. Eat her like a muffin. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ted Turner, media mogul. I saw once on this TV show that he had sex with a dog and the puppies all had his face.
It was very strange. That was Family Guy. It didn't really happen.
It didn't really happen. Oh, it happened. I saw it happen. Don't tell me it didn't happen.
It's Family Guy.
69 years old today. Oh, come on.
Yeah, good job.
Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolver, by the way, Velvet Revolver not playing Japan because Japan blows and they wouldn't let them into the country.
I don't want Velvet Revolver in.
He's 47 years old today. Allison Janney from The West Wing is also 47. Meg Ryan, actress, is 46. Jodie Foster, Oscar winner, is 45 years old today. And Larry King, talk show host Larry King.
Oh, no one's better.
He really is an American institution. He's an icon. Because here's a little taste of Larry King.
Just pick one, Mike, for God's sake.
I figure somebody's got some Larry King tape to play.
He can't make up his mind.
Since you're working so feverishly over there that maybe you'd have some Larry King to play, and if I were to say, here's a taste of Larry King.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, at my home in Sussex. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George.
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you? Ringo.
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George
was.
No, you weren't, Larry.
Shut up, it's my turn.
there's four of the world's most famous people. Two of them are dead. The other two are there in the room with you, Larry. Maybe you could manage to narrow down who you're talking to.
George.
No. Mick Jagger, where were you? Roger Daltrey, how did you feel? Just start barking out 60s British rockers.
Jed Rock, what was the poll for?
Oh, he's the best. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
And our final presenter tonight is a man who wants to rock and roll all night and party every day. Unfortunately, we don't have time for that. The show is over at 11. But regardless, here he is from KISS, Gene Simmons.
Here at QFM, passing to Los Angeles, the world-famous K-Rock. That was Jimmy Kimmel last night at the American Music Awards, bringing our next guest out onto the stage. And the great Gene Simmons from KISS joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Gene.
Hi, guys. I have an issue.
You have an issue?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yes, it's time for you guys to give homage and credit to the entire new I Am K-Rock campaign. That came from me, babe. I created the I Am Indie campaign. Then Starbucks ripped it off for I Am Starbucks. Then the NFL ripped it off for I Am the NFL. Now you guys, I Am K-Rock.
That comes from Gene Simmons. Is there anything you didn't have a hand in inventing, Gene?
Well, I mean, look, lots of stuff, but I'm proud of the stuff.
Just
I'm
not that one.
With.
Okay,
came from me.
All right, now I think we came up with that separately, but our new theme song is I Am K-Rock.
I think you got something there.
Okay, good.
Excellent. Hey, Gene, I know you're very busy. I know you got a busy schedule. You got a lot of things to do today, but we have some things we have to ask you about. First of all, I told the guys earlier I was watching you at the American Music Awards last night, and I could see on your face that you're just looking around the room thinking of all the women you could nail if you wanted to. Did you hit that with Beyonce or with Fergie or with anybody last night?
It's funny. It was a funny moment with Fergie. when we went back, when we got off on stage, a really sweet girl, by the way. When she was in Wild Honey, an RCA band, she was one of three girls.
Mm-hmm.
She said, coming off stage, "I remember we used to flirt with each other, and she's a sweet girl."
Yes.
But the answer is yes. The male of the species wants to nail every one of the female of the species, of course. And
okay.
You know, you're absolutely right. Tomorrow, yes, the season 2 DVD box set of Gene Simmons' Fancy Jewels actually comes out. You're
really?
Absolutely right.
I don't remember any of us asking that.
That's true.
I'm glad we're right.
You're wrong. I mean, you're spot on.
Okay.
The DVD box set will include wonderful romantic scenes like my face being ripped off and slung over my left shoulder like a scarf in the wind.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a great episode. That was your plastic surgery. That was a tough episode to watch, Gene.
Plastic stuff. Isn't it time? I think we should change that to, you know, meat cleaver or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yeah, maybe so. Are you still doing the show? Do you still have cameras in your house all the time, Gene?
Well, yesterday, 2 days ago, actually, I was at a brothel in Las Vegas doing research for my forthcoming book, Ladies of the Night, A Historical Perspective of the Oldest Profession in the World, and our camera crews followed us there, you know, to film it while I was also doing the research. The girls actually tied me up and, you know, had their way with me.
Gene, no one really needs to research that as much as you're claiming to need to do, Gene.
Actually, you do.
You do.
Because I tell you what's interesting to me is the modern interviews I did with some of the girls there. These girls make a fortune, by the way. One of them is has a master's in family psychology and is a MILF. You know what that
sure,
is?
Sure, yeah.
Sure, okay. Of course. So,
every day, wake up and drink your MILF. Don't leave home.
How much? Can you give us an idea how much they make?
Yes, they make $1,500 an hour.
Oh,
and they
God.
Negotiate the price, and you can. There's actually a menu, you know, like a restaurant. I was $10,000 a day.
Did you say $1,500 an hour?
Yes.
Wow,
dude.
Yeah, they
Gene,
do well.
I need to.
I would
up.
Imagine you have never paid for a woman. I would imagine, right?
No. I prefer the other way around. Girls pay me.
They pay you.
They pay you.
I've
right.
got the equipment that has the spin and dry cycle and something that can whip up a good goddamn froth.
Oh, look at that! Look at that! Come on, Lisa. How moist are you right now? Seriously, is he the best?
He talks good.
Lisa's nose. She's so sick and tired, so are all the ladies of the world, with all the guys who talk as much as the girls. They want a guy who, they want the Roto-Rooter man, the guy that can
That's right.
deliver the goods.
Right, sure.
That's right. That's what Gene's famous
for. Right, Lisa?
Absolutely, Gene.
We're talking to Gene.
Come in and do your job.
We're talking to Gene Simmons. Family Jewels, the complete season 2, is out on DVD tomorrow. For folks who have not checked out the reality show, and we've talked about it a bunch on this program, it is great. It really is one of the best of these reality shows because your family mocks you endlessly, and it seems like it's in such good humor. Like, you guys really enjoy each other's company, which you don't see on a lot of these shows.
We love each other. They do pick on me. But I would venture to say as a side note that while watching, the animal kingdom, you always see the king of the beasts, after it's killed something, comes back home to its lair, and it allows its little cubs to jump all over it and bite its tail. But when
right.
that king of beasts stands up, something's going to die a horrible death.
Gene, we heard a story a couple of weeks ago out of the paper that I think it was Chris Angel was having a conversation with you about wanting to date your young teenage daughter, Sophie. Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Wow.
You put him in his place, right?
Well, he's dead.
Good.
That would be the best news ever.
He's always struck us as a giant douchebag, but it seems like an...
No, he's not.
Oh,
he's a good guy.
He's a good guy that was talking about how hot your daughter was.
Well, I think the unfortunate byproduct of being beautiful 5'10" and actually being 15 is that people think she's 20.
Right.
Yeah.
Sophie's 5'10" and gorgeous, captain of a volleyball team, almost perfect grades. I mean, she's an exceptional
of course.
Young well, lady, but she doesn't look like a 15-year-old girl, and it's understandable, but, you know, that's why there's territory. If you pass that line, I'll rip off your head and
that's why there's,
your
hang
neck.
On, hang on, that's
You're
going to
be one of those
territory.
Dads who doesn't let his daughter date until she's 30, right, Gene?
No, I think that's unfair. 56 is a much better age.
All right, last question, because I know you have to go, Gene. We also saw a report this week that you are going to be releasing the Monster box set of all box sets next year. What's that about?
Monster is going going to be the Gene Simmons box set. You know, I've been writing for almost 40 years now, and there are songs going all the way back to 1969 that I've recorded that have never been released. Monster box set means it's going to be the monster box set of all time of new material. In other words, material that's never been released is going to be coming out, the biggest release, if you will, of unreleased songs of all time.
We heard over 150 songs?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But why didn't you use some of these songs in the 40 albums that you've made?
When you hear them, you'll hear kind of Beatlesque, even some country-tinged stuff. Some stuff on piano, just all kinds of wacky stuff just didn't sound like Kiss.
I got you.
One of the things sounds like Charlie Rich, What Goes On Behind Closed Doors. Very similar. And if you stick on what goes on behind closed doors, it's very, very similar, but has nothing to do with Kiss.
You're the Tupac Shakur of the rock world.
The Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, because he put out albums for like.
Bang and I shoot people.
No, for 10 years after he passed away, he put out albums. He had unreleased stuff that was just cataloged.
And of course, this Christmas, December, is Kissology Volume 3, which is shipping 6 times platinum, following on the heels of Volume 1 and Volume 2, both of which were number one, and both of which sold 6 times platinum.
And let me tell you something about that, because this is being, as you know, Gene, we've talked about this. I've been in the Kiss Army since I was a little kid. But I bought the first two. They're great. And the third one, the one that's coming out in December, includes the very first Kiss reunion show in makeup, which happened, if you'll recall, Kevin, at the K-Rock Weenie Roast a few years ago.
Where we set the rafters on fire.
I remember that because Gene Simmons, I believe, lit Bean's wife's hair on fire.
Yeah, yes. Her hair caught on fire during the third song, I think.
Wife? Not familiar with
No, you wouldn't know about that. Yeah, my wife caught fire at that Kiss comeback show at the Weenie Roast, but she definitely was hot that night, I'll tell you that.
Literally, yeah.
But anyway, that's going to be out the first week of December if you want to see Kiss in their first show in makeup. This is before they went and did the big homecoming official show in Detroit. This was their warm-up gig was for us, and it was great, and that's going to be out on DVD.
That was a great bill. You had the Chili Peppers on. And,
yep. Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
Stone Temple Pilots, I think. All kinds of bands.
Yep. Family Jewels, complete season 2 on DVD, available everywhere tomorrow. The great Gene Simmons from Kiss, our guest. Gene, you know we love you. We always enjoy catching up with you, man.
You're very sweet.
Thank you. Don't sue us. All right. That's just not all right. That's not okay.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:22. Right. The people mumbling in the background are K-Rock's Kevin and former K-Rock's Matt Money Smith from the Extra 570. Good morning, Money. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Woo! So he doesn't bring it up. He's already forgotten about it. But Psycho Mike says, hey, Money, didn't I hear you doing play-by-play for the Los Angeles Lakers on radio last night? And yes. Money's like, oh, yeah, I guess I did do that.
I forgot about that.
How do you forget about doing play-by-play?
I don't know. It just happened last night.
I know you do. That's what I'm saying. You do the pregame show. You do the halftime show. You do the postgame show. But play-by-play is a little different.
You are the voice of the Lakers when you do play-by-play. And, yeah, yesterday Spiro got a little, you know, his throat just kind of failed, and he was freaking out a little bit because they got a busy week. They got, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. So he just was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And next thing I know, someone said, well, Money, can you help him out? You can do play-by-play real quick.
That's what happens, by the
way. I was like,
way.
You know what? You don't do play-by-play real quick.
Right, that's
not the way this thing works.
Like, high school basketball. Right. That doesn't happen with the Lakers. They don't have a they don't have a backup anywhere.
That's the most storied franchise in all of basketball, and I'm doing their play-by-play.
Well, and the first thing that came into my head was, my wife Jenny and I are driving, and Money takes over. And I think to myself, awesome, Money's doing play-by-play. And then I thought, how little faith do they have in Michael Thompson that he's been doing?
You can look on the floor right now. You got Jordan Farmar attacking the basket. It's a terrible shot. Yeah. I think they let me roll with that. It was kind of cool. And of all the teams, ironically enough, my Chicago Bulls. I get to call the
And
the
when
game
you
against.
Say my Chicago Bulls, as the play-by-play announcer for the Lakers.
It's kind of weird, right?
I want to be careful
about
that team, a little bit.
You know, the funny thing, though, is over the course of time, and I think this is probably a little bit like you guys in music, it just becomes business. And I don't think I really cheer for the Bulls anymore. And I don't, you know, you just kind of you observe the game and you try to take things out of the game and describe them to people.
I guess, but I remember when I was a freshman in high school playing football and our first 2-string quarterbacks got hurt. And the coach looked at me and said, hey, you played quarterback in grade school, didn't you? And I just remember, I remember like just fear overcame me, and I ran out and just got the crap beaten out of me.
Well, grade school, you play with a Nerf football, right? A little bit different when you roll to high school.
But this was high school, right? I just got killed.
Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird. I really was, I wasn't overcome last night. It was mellow. And the only thing I was upset about is, you know, what you don't realize with play-by-play, that people that have never done it before is, you know, you kind of build these things called boards where you have each player and a lot of information about each player.
Right.
And what, you know, combinations the coaches like to play together so you can call the game at a quicker pace.
Right.
You're not really thinking about what's going on. And I had none of that. So that's kind of why I was like, ah, great. Here I am with my Laker debut. And I'm like, ah, well, there's Luke. And he threw it inside. That's a hook shot. Yes.
See, if it was me, I'd be going, that's the white guy.
He went to Duke and that guy didn't because he's not white. And
did you sit down and begin with the words,
check it, yeah, yeah. No, I said, all right, bizitches. Let's bust this out.
Did you listen to the tape afterward, and how'd you do?
I have not yet, no, because I had post-game right after. I guess I did all right. People were texting, some heads in the city, I guess, that make things happen.
Spiro's out of job? Is he out of job?
No, Spiro's a superstar.
I know.
That dude, you know, hopefully the Lakers can figure out a way to keep Spiro, because he is he's a G, man.
But now that they know they have you.
Yeah. That's right. Hey, did you hear Money call that play where he didn't know what an assist was?
Hey, Money, speaking of the Lakers, we have a lot of ground we want to cover while you're here today. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in sports. And, of course, we still don't have a sports guy. But we didn't even get a chance to talk last week on this show, with the exception of a couple of callers, about the Phil Jackson Brokeback Mountain controversy. Is that over with? And did we miss an opportunity? Was that a great story?
Well...
Or was it just way blown out of proportion?
There's a couple things. One, it wasn't funny, and all the reporters laughed just sucking ass to Phil Jackson. He, you know, his this was the question was they played the Spurs, and Tony Parker, who is a lightning quick point guard and for some reason is French and is still good at something,
right.
Ended up just crushing the Lakers in that game. So someone asked the question, Coach, talk about the penetration tonight from Tony Parker and how that was a difference in the game. And he said, well, with all that penetration, we call this a Brokeback Mountain game with penetration and kickouts. Not really funny.
No, but a clear
Everybody
attempt.
Everybody laughed.
A clear attempt at humor.
At humor. Yeah. And the funny thing is, when I heard it, I got it about a minute after he said it on the post game, and my initial reaction was, oh, he's going to get in trouble for that. And
really?
Yeah, and I figured he would, and it wasn't real bad. I mean,
didn't his apology even make it worse?
Didn't
he say something about...
His apology kicked ass. And that's
what he
what's great about Phil. He says, you know, I apologize, and he yelled at ESPN for making it a big deal when it really wasn't, that it was lighthearted, there was no malice, and he said, so, if you must have an apology, I apologize to all the Cowboys, the state of Texas, and I guess the cows as well.
Nice.
Whatever that meant, and that really kind of got people ticked off, but it's past. It's over.
Because when you talk about gays, you talk about the Cowboys, the Dallas Cowboys,
hey,
right? Is that what he was referring to?
Yeah,
that's not what he meant.
That's what it was.
Oh,
that's not what he meant at all.
Okay,
all right. One more basketball note.
Yes.
Why is Isaiah Thomas always on my TV?
Well, Isaiah is one of the worst dudes alive. Maybe
really?
That's why. Yeah, everyone I talk to, I have some friends that work on the New York media.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have gone there from L.A.,
right.
From covering the Lakers. And I don't know how I can say this without getting sued, but he doesn't like white people.
Okay. He's the coach of the New York Knicks.
Yeah,
he's
former Detroit Piston.
Superstar.
Guy who called out Magic reportedly about, you know, after the whole AIDS thing. Just an evil dude that I want nothing to do with. And apparently, A, doesn't like white people. B, he thinks a lot of himself, and he's not very good at his job. And C, he's now got this thing with this dude, Stephon Marbury, who's one of the players for the Knicks, where apparently Stephon tapped one of the interns in his car after some promotional event, and Isaiah's being sexually harassed, or was being sued for sexual harassment by her boss.
Right.
Follow me there? Intern sex Marbury, Isaiah, her boss, sued for sexual harassment. So when he told Stephon, hey, you're no longer my starting point guard, Marbury's reaction was, I got the dirt on you, mother effer, and I'm going to tell everyone. Which is a logical reaction for a professional athlete that's making $20 million a year that you're going to out your head coach and general manager because he decides not to start you anymore.
But if he decided not to start you because of
performance-related issues, maybe? I don't know. Wow. I think he chose not to start him because the Knicks weren't playing well with him in there.
Oh,
I mean,
it was
on the court issues, but then Stephon made it an off the court issue, and I guess they got into a fist fight in the airplane, which is always a great idea.
I'm so glad to see the Knicks going up in a ball of flames.
They really are.
I got to tell you,
they really are.
Makes me happy.
And in the meantime, the Lakers are playing good basketball.
Yeah,
really good basketball, actually. Like one of the best teams in the league basketball.
I know it, and it's odd because those of us that are fans are kind of, we've been kind of waiting for it to not go this well. It's exciting, but you kind of didn't expect this much.
Excuse me, Money. I was going to say, before we have to take a break and come back, why don't we end with the Psycho Mike Lakers song? I don't know if Money's had a chance to hear it or not.
No!
We got a new Lakers song we can play for you.
I didn't know that. Well, yeah, Dave emailed me his newest Clippers song.
Yeah, you heard that monstrosity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of the answer to the Clipper life.
Like, it's almost like an MC just warming up the crowd, Dave's Clippers song.
Yeah.
Clippers, yeah.
Are you ready? This is the Psycho Mike comeback.
Hey, Dave.
Yes?
Yeah, listen.
Okay.
Your Clipper song's nice. That's great.
Clipper life.
But I'm going to f*** you up here with this Lakers song.
Whatever.
All right, you sure?
Yeah, I'm ready. Bring it on.
Here comes the pain.
Dave, you're a red-faced beaner. Rooting for a team of random unknown Africans.
Who the hell is Quentin Ross? That's not a real person.
I root for the Lakers, championship takers with 14 rings at home.
9 of them in L.A., bitch. How many did the Clippers bring here?
Oh,
yeah, that's right. 0.
It's times like these, it's good to be a fan of a team that has some rings upon their hands. It's Flea Denzel, of course, Jack Nicholson. Not some loudmouth narcoleptic Mexican.
Malcolm in the Middle, seriously? That's one of your fans?
I went to Staples Center. As soon as I enter, I see jerseys on the wall.
Something very similar about all the jerseys on the wall.
I didn't see any jerseys with the colors red and white. They were all purple and gold. Oh, Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Will Chamberlain. Chick Hearn told me that the jello's jiggling. Kareem is all a guy should have to say. He scored more points than anyone in the NBA.
What do you think about that, Dave? Yeah. Dude, are you asleep? Oh, God, wake up, you asshole.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's okay.
It's times like these, it's good to be a fan.
There you go.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, talk about a range of emotions, Mike. Yeah. I started out laughing. I got a little misty in the middle part. And then at the end, you got me thinking. Wow.
That's nice. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:39.
I think you were trying to get that song off the air back when you worked here, Money. We're still playing it. How about that?
Matt
I'm Money at Pismo Beach. Riding four-wheelers at Pismo Beach.
That's Lightning.
All right, Lightning. Thank you. From the Extra 570, Money is here. How's our old friend Petros, by the way? What's he up to these days?
He's out of his mind. The guy's got like 9 jobs, so he's doing college football on Saturdays. He's been doing Pros versus Joes for like 8 weeks now all over the country.
Excellent.
Dude. Hey, he does the BCS show. He does our show every afternoon. I mean, it's just, you know, he's a dude that's working a little too hard.
He's the Seacrest of sports.
He is. Yeah. He really
sounds
is.
Like it, yeah.
It's a lot of jobs.
Now, I thought about you yesterday, Money. You guys probably don't remember what it's like to live in a city that has a professional football franchise, but I was downtown in Seattle yesterday doing some Christmas shopping. And you know the Pioneer Square area, Money. You've been up here. And all the people parked down there or walking down there who live in town, walking out to Quest Field, right? And tons of Chicago fans. I guess the Bears are one of those teams that Chicago people all over the country, right? They probably draw real well on the road. So tons of Chicago fans walking toward the stadium, and I saw lots of jerseys. I saw lots of greasy jerseys. I saw Urlacher. He was number one. Saw some Hesters. Not a single Grossman jersey.
Nope.
Never saw one Grossman jersey.
Persona
he's your freaking
grata.
Quarterback.
Yeah,
which
he,
is amazing because most teams, the quarterback is far and away the big jersey.
I think when you talk about the Bears, and you saw the Super Bowl last year,
sure.
Really the only thing the team needed was a quarterback that could just maybe not cause too many problems.
Just don't screw up too much.
That's it. That's all we ask. Just, get the snap from the center, feel his ass, get the ball into your hand, hand it to a running back, and get the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
No, not the case with Rex.
How can he be so good and so bad sometimes in the same play?
Rocket arm, stupid dude.
Is that what it is? He just doesn't have the brains for it?
The guy can throw the football through a concrete wall, but he cannot do simple math.
Is it true that your run back guy, Hester, got caught by the kicker?
The only thing I can think of
that
there.
Really happened.
Here's the only thing I can think of.
By the way,
of.
Hester, for those of you that only watch occasionally, in the Super Bowl, the first play of the game ran the kickoff back for a touchdown.
He
if you
already,
recall that Super Bowl.
I think the NFL record for touchdown returns on kickoffs or punts is 11 or 12. Hester has 9, and he's been in the league for a little over a year.
Oh
so
yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that this kicker here.
Wrecked
you know,
him, by the way.
He wrecked him. But there was like a meeting. You know, they all met in the O'Hare Hilton or something like that. They all flew in from the various spots around the country and
sure.
said, we got to get this son of a bitch. And finally, they found a guy with the perfect opportunity to do it for all the kickers. Because really, that's who he's making a fool out of when it comes to all these returns. They've outkicked their coverage or the punt wasn't good enough. So finally, one dude, did it for the kickers. And they're all
Josh
gay, by
Brown,
the way, the kickers are.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
They're what?
Nothing.
They're all gay?
Nothing.
The kickers are all gay, did you say?
Now, what's funny is that Chicago Seahawks game yesterday was supposed to be the NBC Sunday Night Football Night in America game, but they flipped it once the Patriots game, became available. And I guess they ran that exciting game last night instead.
Yeah, that's...
And I had Buffalo plus 45. I was so bummed to see them. So bummed to lose that.
That was a lot of people, not to get too deep into the business of the NFL, but they were surprised by that move because, once you grab a team, you cannot take them again. So... They decided to take the Patriots against the Bills, not knowing if, what if they're approaching 16-0 and there's a halfway decent opponent they could get instead of all the weeks to pick that particular game really didn't make sense against a Bills team that's been pretty bad the past decade for the most part. So real surprising. Look, with the NFL, there's no reason to even play the games. That's how unreal this Patriots team is. They are breaking every record.
And on the opposite side, the Dolphins going exactly according to history.
Talk about irony. If you have a 16-0 and an 0-16 and it happens to be Miami, it would be pretty spectacular.
That would be great.
So Tom Brady had 7 touchdowns last night.
Devil.
And it is on pace for how many? 55 or something for the season?
No, I think he's on pace for better than 60. It's
unbelievable.
It's pretty unreal.
Is he a robot?
No, just the spawn of Satan. That's really it.
We were talking Friday about the games this weekend, and we were told to bet the mortgage on Indianapolis.
Who told you that?
That would be
Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah. And they won in the last second, barely.
Yeah.
How did
13-10.
They barely beat
KC?
Well,
Vinatieri was shanking field goals left and right in that contest.
Don't care.
And they've got no weapons. The Colts, they're out. Their tight end is just getting back. Marvin Harrison, one of the best receivers in the NFL,
they've
is gone.
They've got a guy who's one of the best runners.
Well, they do, no question. But, the Kansas City's one of these teams that runs the ball a lot. And they can grind out some time and really kind of shorten the, so-called shorten the game and keep things competitive. Yeah, I think if you're... This reminds me of a couple seasons back when I had my most prolific gambling season ever by doing nothing but taking the Colts, the Patriots, and the Eagles. It was the year that the Pats and the Eagles met in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that entire season, all we did was bet those three teams every single week. And I think maybe we lost, that's 3 times 17. So, you're talking about close to 60 games, and I think we lost maybe 6 or 7. Did not cover. If you're not betting the Patriots every week, you're out of your mind.
Whatever
doesn't matter. You could probably take a 25-point spread with them, and you'd feel pretty comfortable.
And they're playing
this.
The Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, they're playing them next week. That's their game next
week.
Yes,
they are. I'd be terrified if I were Ralph right now because you've got those two places on the west side of L.A. right across the street from one another.
Sure,
the Shack and Sonny McLean's, I think, is its name.
Yep.
And that's not going to be pretty
that's
because
the Patriots bar.
They're taunting you. And there's nothing you can say to them, those damn Boston SOBs.
Yeah.
And the Philly people are not nice people at all.
No.
So I'm figuring something could burn down or blow up or at the very least.
Be a brawl.
You know, yeah,
yeah,
some brawls.
How about a few words on Psycho Mike's Cowboys?
Well, Tony Romo, the only thing about the Cowboys is this, is that, and one of the reasons why I like him is because Tony Romo's from this tiny little college in Illinois, in Carbondale, and he's a pretty good-looking dude, and I've got to believe
that
he's everything that Matt Leinart wishes he could be.
Right.
That if there was one guy, he looks at, he's like, you got to be kidding me. He was out at Hyde and Les Deux partying with all these actresses, and then he flies back to Dallas and throws for 5 touchdowns, and the guy really has it all. I mean, he is the NFC equivalent of Tom Brady, who's, you know, of course, banging supermodels and
sure.
having illegitimate kids all over. By the way, you notice the way that Tom Brady's been acting kind of resembles your standard athlete. And we don't see that a lot from kind of well-rounded white dudes from places like Michigan that have their diplomas and go to school for 4 years. So you almost wonder if these off-the-field actions contribute to on-the-field performance. Because let's face it, I mean, Sean Kemp, one of the great power forwards, went in his prime and he fathered 9 illegitimate kids.
Sure.
So
you
maybe
think that makes him better?
Well, maybe Tom Brady's onto something here. You know, multiple girlfriends, impregnate them, you know, piss off everybody, don't do any charitable work. To hell with it all. Next thing you know, you're breaking, you know, Dan Marino and Peyton Manning's offensive records. Not
Could
a bad
be.
Approach.
Okay.
Could
That's
be.
Got to
have some
idea.
Fun in the process, too.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Last football question.
Yes.
Then we have, briefly, we have to discuss your friend Joe Torre. But Brett Favre.
Yeah.
What's
old,
going on?
Gray, chews a lot. I think he's a Copenhagen guy.
Is he playing better than ever?
Yeah.
9-1.
Yeah. The Packers are 9-1. And I think, you know, Brett really thought that he played his last game at the end of last season.
Everyone did.
And, you know, for the idea that he came back and the Packers are this good, I don't think anyone could have possibly seen coming. But, you know, Brett Favre playing well is good for football.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, and I think it's, you know, as much as you might not like the Packers or whatever, he is one of those fun dudes to watch play the way he plays the game. And because the NFC, I think it's a product of two things. One, Brett Favre's a good quarterback, and two, the NFC's a joke, especially the division in which Brett Favre plays, the NFC North. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a product that the competition isn't quite what it could be, and Brett Favre is still great because most quarterbacks, as we talked about earlier with Rex Grossman and stuff, suck. So
yeah,
it
right,
works out
right.
for him.
All right, Kevin is going to drive a stake into his heart when I say this word, but baseball is right around the corner.
Oh, how dare you? It's
no
not around
the Dodgers
corner.
Have Joe Torre. What do you think?
Well, I would have thought a lot better of that move had it led to A-Rod, because that's really the prize. And the fact that A-Rod's a little bitch and crawled back to the Yankees and begged to get his $275 million really kind of screwed up the plans, I think, of both Los Angeles baseball franchises,
right,
the Angels and the Dodgers.
But Torre is not enough to make
a
huge difference?
No, I mean, don't get me wrong.
It was
he
only
will,
a way to get...
But to me, that would have been the real coup. Not only do you get Joe Torre from the Yankees, but you get the game's best player to come along with them. Because, you know, I mean, look, the Dodgers have a nice squad. They got some good young talent, but maybe it's just me. I can't see anybody freaking out over the idea of going to see Torrey Hunter in center field as opposed to going to see A-Rod playing third base, right? Woo! The Dodgers got Torrey Hunter! Let's get out to the bleacher! You know, I mean, it doesn't work the same.
It's not the same, no.
No. But, you know, I guess A-Rod frosts his tips and, you know, wears purple lip gloss, so maybe he's just a weird dude.
He's perfect for L.A.
Yeah, that's what I
shade,
said,
right?
Especially Orange County. Fit right in down there with those damn housewives and the Angels. So yeah, that's a bit depressing. I mean, unfortunately, the hot stove league, which is the offseason, not as exciting for the baseball teams here in town as it could have been.
The hot stove league.
That's what they call it. They used to gather around the hot stove and discuss what moves they'd be making in the offseason because it was the winter, you know.
I listen to that every Thursday night, the Mariners hot stove league, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Well, we're
wow.
desperately out of time, Matt Moneysmith.
Can I bring up one other thing?
Of
Only
course.
If it's John Mayer.
No.
Right.
Traffic was so bad on the way up that I took one of my shortcuts through Inglewood.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever had an opportunity to look at the names of some of these stores in Inglewood? It's got, you ever, like, when you go to Europe and they try to piece English words together and it's like action, sports, fancy,
right.
slip spot. And
right.
You don't know, and they sell shoes inside.
Right.
So I'm driving through Inglewood and traffic is moving pretty slow, and it was mind-numbing, the names of some of these stores. A salon called City Hair Importers.
Importers?
What are you importing? You're a salon. You're cutting hair. And then there was another one that said Ichiban Gutter Repair. And then in parentheses, It's the best. They have to explain to us what Ichiban means. You really need to go down and do it and chronicle the different storefronts of the La Brea Boulevard in Inglewood.
Money's a little fried as he left his house at 6:30 this morning and got here a half hour ago.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. What was the Japanese position on dolphins? There's too many of them. We got to kill them anyway.
Yes, must kill.
Can we just kill the Japanese in L.A.? I mean, you'd really open up traffic.
Oh, no.
I mean,
oh,
talk about getting those freeways wide open. Really open things up. Hour and a half from Los Alamitos, man.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
All right, Money, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
Bye.
It's KROQ-FM passing in Los Angeles. In fact, and if you go to KROQ.com right now, you can get all the details on how you can buy your tickets for both nights of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. They go on sale 2 weeks from Thursday, and there are a few changes this year, so you want to check out the website and find out what's up. Rob's got the showbiz beat for Monday. What's happening?
A lot of people were very close to seeing Ray Winstone's animated penis over the weekend. Beowulf, number one at the box office by a long shot, made $28 million. It's a hilarious section of the film where Beowulf's running around naked and they keep putting something in front of his junk so you don't quite see it. It's like a candlestick or an axe or a spear or
a face.
Yeah. No, there's no face.
You wish, Mike.
But entertaining film. If you can see it in 3D, I especially recommend that.
Could have used less of his nudity and more of Angelina Jolie's nudity. Her golden
She's
boobs.
Naked every time you see her.
Yeah.
She is slathered with gold.
Oh.
But, he's naked.
Sure.
Because that's the story, really. He fights the beast Grendel in the nude. Because...
I'm sorry, how?
In the nude. Because Grendel has no armor and no weapons, so Beowulf says, I'm going to take him on.
I know, that was dumb.
The same, match for match. Why was it dumb?
That story will never last.
Yeah, it's true. No one will ever tell that story again. Oh, wait a minute. It's from 700 AD. It's been told forever. B-Movie was the second movie of the box office. $14.3 million. Good enough to make it number two. Then American Gangster. Fred Claus coming in at number four. Number five was Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium. Lisa?
Yes.
How was it?
Magical.
Wow.
She's losing more and more enthusiasm for as the day goes
Sorry.
On.
Wasn't that good?
A lot of people said it's crappy.
I did read that it was crappy, but I went anyway, and it was actually kind of charming.
It's kind of charming is what you go for.
Dan in Real Life is number six. No Country for Old Men, number seven. Lions for Lambs, Saw 4, and Love in the Time of Cholera. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Well, sad news on the Great White Way. As Broadway is also known, Daily Variety newspaper reports that the weekend negotiations between Broadway producers and the stagehand unions broke it off late last night with no further talks scheduled. That means the strike will continue at least through the Thanksgiving weekend, which is one of the biggest revenue weeks for theater box offices on Broadway. So they're going to be in a world of hurt.
Oh, yeah.
However, the rumors over the weekend that the Writers Guild and producers may be talking again has been confirmed.
How about that?
Looks like Monday the 26th is the date that they're setting for the talks between the two sides, so maybe there'll be some movement on the Writers Guild
strike. A week from today.
Yes, exactly.
Couldn't get together sooner.
Nope. Well, no, they got Thanksgiving picketing to do and that kind of stuff. So.
Sure. Holiday.
Speaking of Thanksgiving coming up, here's a little quick turkey trivia for you.
Oh, good.
A little celebrity turkey trivia.
Oh, wait.
What band once almost refused to perform when they found out that there was pressed turkey roll on their backstage buffet?
To be vegetarians.
Spin
right?
Doctors.
Not the Spin Doctors, no. Good guess, though.
Good guess.
Aerosmith, apparently.
I was going to say Chumbawamba.
Really? Aerosmith almost refused to perform. They explicitly the writer had explicitly forbidden any turkey roll on their deli meats platter. And once Steven Tyler found turkey roll, he almost pulled the plug.
Thanks for that info, Beans!
So there you go. There's your Thanksgiving celebrity turkey trivia.
Not the turkey
roll. Just not turkey roll, Lisa.
That's so
had
bizarre.
It been chicken?
Fine.
Or bologna? Would have been
not
fine.
Not a problem.
But no turkey roll.
Why so vehemently against the turkey roll?
I have no idea.
Why so many follow-up questions about that?
What the hell?
Why
against the turkey?
See, it's a tie-in, Kevin, because it's Thanksgiving's coming up. So
I didn't get that.
Celebrity. Yeah, you hate all holidays.
He does.
Thanks for that info, B.
You know, we haven't heard all day.
What?
Thanksgiving cooks.
Well, we've heard of
Where's that?
We heard a little of it.
Just barely.
Unfortunately, while we were waiting for
Hardly
Simmons.
Any.
Oh.
Yeah. Too much of it, actually, if I could be honest.
I'm not hearing any now. I know that much.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Maybe you weren't giving enough of a hint that you wish to hear some of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a little something now.
Thanksgiving cooks. Of course, the greatest Thanksgiving song ever recorded, 1929.
Thanksgiving, oh Thanksgiving. Turkey things are gonna happen. Gobble, gobble. Thanksgiving cooks outside my window. Behind a tree. I wish the pilgrims could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Thanksgiving cooks outside my window plane.
Kevin, you're just going to have to accept that you're out of step with the world on this one. People love Thanksgiving cooks. They love the call to the Butterball Turkey Hotline every year. You're odd man out on this one, dude.
That's bullshit.
Why are the cooks hiding behind the tree, though? I don't understand.
None of that
are
song
they,
makes
are they
sense.
Sneaking up on the turkey?
None of it makes sense.
Why are they behind the window pane, more importantly? I wish the pilgrims could see.
You don't have any stories, or?
You want to do it? Out. You want to do it?
I would.
You want to freaking do it?
If you're going to play Thanksgiving cooks.
You do it. Here. Here's the birthday.
Well, I can't make sense of your
you
writing.
No, my writing. It's printed out on a computer, you ass.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
You do it. Yeah, good.
Uh-huh. Drummer Matt Sorum of Velvet Revolvers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what else you got?
Velvet 47.
Revolvers, all of them?
actress Meg Ryan, 46.
Mm-hmm.
Talk show host Larry King.
Yeah.
74 years old.
Yeah, you try to get some audio now out of somebody. Yeah.
Let's get the pole.
What do you mean? You don't have one in your house?
Yeah, sure. No. How do you use it?
But you know why the pole's in the house, right?
Do you slide down the pole?
Hell no.
No, okay. do visitors slide down the pole?
They have.
Of the female persuasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know that guy's on the pole, Larry.
No.
Larry actually thinks it's still used as in a firehouse. You slide down it.
When the Kid Rock alarm goes off,
he's
got to slide down the pole.
Yeah, Larry.
Hop in the Kid Rock truck.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Whatever it is he does.
See, it's not that easy, is
it? Good.
Best song ever.
We actually had it when we needed it this time?
Amazing.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Boobs.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
That's right, they're breasts.
Exactly, we're talking about Miss Double December. This is the most magical, wonderful time of the year when we look for you, the K-Rock listener, to represent us, the very unattractive Kevin and Bean Show, at all public events for the following calendar year, and that's why we're up and running at krock.com with the Miss Double December search.
Mm-hmm. What a gaggle of contestants we have this year, my fellows.
A gaggle? Is that good?
We've got a gaggle, mm-hmm. And they are, of course, they're entering fast and furiously because tomorrow is the deadline. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. is the cutoff for all the Miss Double December applications to be in along with your photographs. So if you are planning on entering this year's contest, you better get on the stick, ladies. Time is a running out. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Listen, man, speaking of getting on the stick.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
We've got some great girls who have already sent in their applications and their photographs, including Irene, who is from West Covina. She's 24 years old.
I'm sorry, what's her name again, Ralph?
Irene. No, she's not a one-legged Asian model.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But this year we're having a talent competition as well, so each of the girls has to say what talent she would display in the talent competition this year. Irene said she would write a poem for the occasion and recite it. So she's a poet, apparently. Oh. That's her gift. That's her talent.
Okay.
I've got a poem for Irene. There once was a girl from Nantucket.
Nope,
can't
no,
say that.
No.
What?
Can't
Come
say
on.
That. Can't say that. Sorry.
Is a poem. Is a poem what we want from our Miss Double December contestants, or should we go back to her and maybe suggest something else?
She gets to do whatever she wants. Shut up.
Depends exactly. on
okay.
Bad
depends,
choice.
Depends on the poem.
Okay.
Depends,
never mind. Okay.
Depends on the poetess.
That's
the
thing. Dean, you're not looking at Irene. That's a fine choice.
Yes.
Okay.
She can do whatever
right,
she
then.
Wants
fine
to do.
Fine
choice. Say no more.
Drea from San Dimas says she can lip sync. It'd be fun to pick a song for her to lip sync to.
Sure.
Said she's a gifted lip syncer.
Oh.
Cassidy from Newbury Park says she has no talent, which is not what we're looking for.
Well,
think of something.
We have plenty of that.
Yeah, come up with something.
We've got that covered.
That
no
would
talent.
No talent. We'd have Psycho Mike enter the competition. You know what I'm saying?
Don't you just take a minute and try to think of something if you need a talent?
However, look at her, and we got to find something for her to do. We got to find a talent.
She's got a couple of talents.
She's got two talents there. We've got Christina, who says she can sing new songs in Korean. That could be entertaining.
Interesting.
That could be entertaining.
All right.
Christina from Whittier claims her talent is she's able to independently move her scalp and her ears just by flexing them, which I think could be very entertaining.
All right.
Tracy, who lives in the 949,
yeah,
plays drums. Female drummer, that could be interesting.
That would be fun.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course, Brittany says she can show us the proper execution of a donkey punch.
Okay, now we're getting
which
somewhere.
Which is all in favor of. And Ashley, one of my favorite talents, I think, that I've seen so far in the applications, is that she's from Huntington Beach, Ashley is, and she can put on her lipstick without using her hands just by putting the lipstick tube into her cleavage.
Wow.
Okay.
Just
like to see that.
Just like the Breakfast Club. And they did that.
Yeah,
in the Breakfast Club.
No kidding.
She can put it between her boobs and lipstick and then just move her lips around and then put her lipstick on that way. That's a gift.
All right. Let me lay out the calendar, make sure that I understand this and that the girls listening do too. So you apply by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. By the end of tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show, you fill out the application at krock.com and upload your picture for us. And then what? We have a meeting where we narrow it down to the 10 finalists that then go up at krock.com throughout the long Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Exactly.
And the listeners get to vote on who they would like to see win, right?
KROQ listeners start their voting the minute we put up the 10 finalists on the website. And we'll be voting all the way up through and including our live Miss Double D December pageant, which we'll be having on November 30th, our live show. We'll have all the girls out on the runway. They'll be participating in the swimsuit competition and then also in the talent competition. At the end of that very event, we will give the sash, crown, and scepter to our brand new Miss Double D
December 2008. How do you think the donkey punch is going to go on stage?
I think it's going to go spectacularly well. I'm looking forward to assisting her there.
And did we get are people starting to send in their picture from out of state?
Yes.
Is that Kansas or someplace?
We've got a beautiful applicant named Brittany, 23 years old today. In fact, she's the donkey puncher.
Oh, okay.
Who right. is her hometown is listed here as Cadiz, Kentucky.
So she's listening online?
Apparently.
She's from there originally?
I guess.
Or is that just her hometown? Maybe she lives here
I know,
now.
Maybe she does, maybe. But she's, her phone number is a 270 area code. Where's 270?
Oh, that's
not
here.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
So maybe she plans on flying in for all the Kevin and Bean events. Also, Joy and Arlita, she wrote her talent is lewd. Doesn't really say what it is here. It's just lewd. That's all we need to
she's
know.
She's giving us a category.
Maybe she just is lewd.
She's got a lewd talent that I'm sure we'll find out more about.
I like
about.
It.
Girls are promising to deep throat beer bottles.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all kinds of spectacular talent. So if nothing else, it's going to be a very entertaining pageant, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, sounds like it. And of course, the reason you want to be Miss Double December is you get to come to the KROQ Weenie Roast next summer. You get to come to the Acoustic Christmas shows this year. You get to come to Kevin Bean singles parties. I mean, we do plan on having, unlike this year, we do plan on actually having events in 2008 that you can attend.
Yeah. Poor Lauren really got the
she got the shaft.
Short,
not the good one.
Short end of the stick, really.
Yeah.
So,
that's what she said.
We'd like to use Miss Double December to our greater advantage this time around. We've learned from our lessons.
We have KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and you can enter there through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Why don't we not take the phone calls today and just talk about this?
I'm fine with this.
No, talk about this.
We'll have plenty of time. It's 1-800-520-1067. I love Mondays because we'll unveil the new prizes. And check this out just in time for the holidays. How about a $100 gift card from Kevin Jewelers? You know, Kevin Jewelers is California's choice for diamonds, you guys. Plus a copy of Rock Band for Xbox 360 just released. This is the one that's kind of like Guitar Hero, except you get to play drums, bass, guitar. You get to sing the whole deal.
Yeah.
And Psycho Mike, big kickoff party tonight. Where, at midnight?
That's right, at Best Buy.
Where, at midnight?
yes,
it's over at midnight. That's where we're all going to go.
It's a club in West Hollywood. No, the Best Buy on the corner of Santa Monica and La Brea. Tonight, I will be hosting the Midnight On Sale, so come get Rock Band if you can't win it from what it is.
Santa Monica La Brea, the big mall they have there?
I believe so, yes. Rob, you know the area
it's
better
right
than
around
I.
The corner from my house.
It is.
And
maybe
I'm
you can come by.
I'm not going to go see you.
Dude, you can play drums. You can play drums. I'll play bass.
They're going to have drums there?
Dude, Rock Band, you can play drums and bass and see vocals. It's just like Guitar Hero, but better.
But how do you play drums? You have to use like a joystick or something?
It comes with it like a special kit that you plug in. Like instead of a controller, it has drum pads.
Oh.
And you rock out. You had to hold it down.
Oh, dude.
It's
look,
awesome.
Look, now
it's
I might be in now.
We're all excited about the game. I would like to point out how sharp Mike is on a daily basis, and he's going to be there tonight at midnight.
Yes.
What could go wrong with that?
And I'm sorry, that Best Buy store is at La Brea and
Santa Monica!
Exactly. Yeah. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Speaking of video games, let's talk to Oscar in Northridge. Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew for a Monday morning.
Hey, Oscar, you're on the air. What's going on? What'd it do?
What'd it do, white devil?
What'd it do, brown man?
What do you call it? Great game comes out tomorrow, Mass Effect. But Singapore has banned it because there's a sex scene between an alien woman and a female.
Ooh, lesbian. Mm-hmm. Alien lesbianism.
Well, Gerald Pauly would have no part of that. I'll tell you that. We found out a few minutes ago.
Yeah, unfortunately.
What's Singapore have against aliens?
They just don't like sex, like, or lesbians, I guess.
They don't like sex
they
or lesbians.
They don't like either.
Right. Aliens, apparently.
Hey, yeah. they hit you with a cane for throwing a gum wrapper on the street. Imagine what they do if a girl's caught kissing a girl in that country.
They chop off your wee-wee.
Yes, they would.
No, there are any wee-wees.
Chop off those female wee-wees.
All righty.
Oscar, you started strong, but then you faded.
I love it. All right, let's talk to Mario, who is calling from Alhambra. Good morning, Mario.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Hello.
What do?
YouTubing.
Nice.
What I was calling about is apparently there's the 75th anniversary for Wizard of Oz, and they're going to celebrate by giving the Munchkins a star on the Walk of Fame.
That is correct. I think there's three of them left. Is that right?
Three of them. How the hell? Do they last that long, Munchkins?
You're just trying to get some more trouble, aren't you?
There were hundreds of them, and now there are only three left, so they are dropping off.
Well, I mean, aren't their organs small or little, or don't they run out before ours do?
Yes, their organs
actually
run out.
Big people die quicker than little people, actually. Like dogs. You know, like Great Danes only last, you know, like 9 years, but a little rat terrier or something lasts for like 17 years, so...
Yeah, most of the regular people in that movie are dead, if not all.
That's
right?
A good point,
yeah,
Lisa.
Yeah.
It's an excellent point, yeah.
Are
Thank
we
you for the
talking
call
about
that.
This. I'm sorry.
It's not a real size star, though, right?
No, God, no.
It's
no.
Like a tiny little star
from the top of a Christmas tree or something. Smash it into the ground.
Think
about
like 50 of them in one of those squares.
Exactly.
It's not actually in the sidewalk either. It's just in a rock.
It's on the curb.
Derek in Torrance. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What it do, nephews? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Derek?
Last night at the American Music Awards, Scott Weiland and Slash were giving the award for Carrie Underwood. And after they gave it to her, they stepped off to the side. She was like, I can't believe I'm getting an award from Velvet Revolver. And she looked over, and Scott Weiland, like, nudges Slash, and he, like, fully, like, goes back and looks at her ass. Like, sways towards the back and checks out her ass.
That's a good choice. She has a nice ass.
She's an attractive girl.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then I told my wife about it, and she rewinded it. She's like, no way. He's not looking. I was like, you don't understand. I go, these guys are rockers. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, they're rockers. Yeah. They totally check out butts, man.
Oh, man.
Woo!
Crazy.
Oh, they're going nuts. They totally look at girls' butts. That is
there
nuts.
Was,
you don't understand,
was,
Mike.
How did she not
understand? They're rockers.
How did she not believe that is my question.
They're insane. Sometimes a girl walks by, they'll look at her ass. That's how they roll. How do you like them now, bitch?
There was way too much Daughtry on that show last night. He won like 20 awards or something. He kept going up on stage, and each speech was worse than the last. And then eventually he even performed. It was just, it was painful. Yeah. I didn't watch his season. The season that he and Carrie Underwood were on, I did not watch. So I have no affection for them from the American Idol. But man, the people love that Daughtry, Ralph.
Yeah.
No thanks. All right, let's go.
He dared to tangle with McPhee, by the way. Ha!
Ha! Oh, was that the season?
Yeah, same season.
Michael in Upland, good morning.
What to do, nephews? What to do, baby boo?
What to do, Michael?
Well, my dad's an idiot. He got his penis circumcised.
When?
Your dad?
Last weekend.
Really?
What?
Why'd he do it now?
How old was your dad?
My dad is 51 years old.
You finally
got
around to
him,
it.
Yeah, what made him decide now's the time?
Well, his friends came over one day, like they always do, and they just told him that he'd have a better sex life, and I guess they talked him into it. And
at 51?
51 years old.
His friends came over, they always do, and said, Bill, pull out your penis again. We all want to take a look. And they said, you got to get that trimmed.
Like just got to take a little off.
Typical Friday with Dad.
Wow.
Well, good for him. Hope he heals up nice.
He's a moron.
All right,
yes, he is. Yes, he
is. You know what he's going to do now? He's totally going to check out girls' asses.
No!
Yes,
yeah,
he's not.
He's going to party like a rock star.
No,
he's going to like sway
not.
Back. He's going to say, oh, look at that ass.
He didn't do it.
And people will not believe it.
He didn't do it. Should I rewind?
Nuts.
Let's talk to Tim in Woodland Hills.
In what? Where?
Where?
Where is he calling from?
Is he going to be at midnight tonight?
Tim and Wyndon Hills. Hey, Tim, how is life in Wyndon Hills?
It's a Dick Clark and Kevin show.
He's calling about one of our favorite topics. I'm actually already laughing about it.
All right, Tim.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Wyndon Hills, good. What's going on?
Hey, so a couple years ago, I went to the Laugh Factory. And
a couple of years ago, this story.
Really? You got nothing more recent for us, huh?
Okay. Well, it was, we went to go see Dane Cook Live.
Yeah. Okay.
And, this one girl was kind of rowdy in the audience, and she had said she kept yelling Dane's name out.
Right,
right.
And one time he said, you know, if you keep it down, you know, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. And she yelled, "Yeah, Dane!" one more time, and he dropped the microphone, walked off stage, and didn't come back.
Well, he's a little patty pants, isn't he?
Wow.
I mean, he didn't even get halfway through the show, and all of a sudden, everybody started chanting. They started chanting his name to come back out. And he never came back out.
And this was yesterday or Saturday? When was this?
I know it was a long time ago.
Pretty sure it was a couple of years ago, Kevin.
How did you walk around with this story weighing on you so heavily that you had to call us and tell us now?
One of my friends that that works.
No, we can't.
A couple years ago, my friends told me, you should call Kevin and be with that story. He's dead.
Back
now.
In 1994, I knew this guy.
He passed away. You know, if I was there and that girl called out Dane Cook name, I would totally look at her ass.
No, you would not.
I'd bend back, I'd be like, oh, and I'd nudge my friends, like, look at her ass. That's how I roll.
Whoa.
I'm an outlaw. I play by my own rules.
Dare we talk to Anthony before we go?
Absolutely not.
What's the point?
Let's bring on Anthony from Baldwin Park on line one. Our final call today on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Now.
We're being cruel to every one of our listeners today. What, Anthony?
What It Do? How you guys doing?
We are good.
Please have a good story.
All right, here's this for recent. Saturday night, I'm at a party for my friend, and passed out in the far back corner of the house. There's a guy just passed out on the ground, and somebody had pooped on his chest.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Now we're talking. Good. Now that's a story.
Well, that's how we want to go out.
That's right.
Right
that
there.
That's
the story.
Old Stanley Steamer.
No, that's a good one.
No. Cleveland.
I bet they don't do that in Wyndon Hills.
They're all going over to midnight tonight to hang out. Where's it going to be? Midnight?
I'm just as God made me.
Yes, you are.
All right. I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Hero on Heroes. He is actor Masioka.
Hey!
Thank you. With a new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. Also, thanks to Gerald and Linda Pauly. I believe, by the way, you know Gerald's running for president. You can get all the information at this web address.
www.voicesfromspirit.com
right.
/ capital V21 capital N5 / links.htm.
Slow down.
We know you will find it of interest.
Okay.
These are incredible. Absolutely incredible time.
Yes,
thank you, the Paulies. And thanks to Matt Money Smith for joining us. Catch him afternoons on AM 570. And the great Gene Simmons for joining us, who was maybe creepier today than he's been in a long, long time on our show.
Quite possibly.
Complete season 2 on DVD of his TV show called The Family Jewels is available everywhere starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, we got William Shatner on the program. We have Heidi Klum on the program.
Oh,
we have comedian Kathy Griffin in studio.
Jeez,
and,
star-studded.
We made the announcement earlier this morning about the ticket on sale for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007. Online only on December 6th, Thursday, December 6th. Night number one goes on sale at 5 p.m., night number two at 6 p.m., and we're going to start drawing tomorrow morning from street team members. And start giving them free tickets tomorrow morning.
Randomly. Just we're going to pick random street team members and just give them tickets.
You have to be a street team member to buy the tickets this year, and we're going to reward you by drawing names starting tomorrow morning and giving away tickets.
Cool.
I hope the person who wins tomorrow lives in Wyndon Hills.
I do too.
That's what
I hope.
I'll have to go to midnight to pick them up.
And by the way, tomorrow morning, also on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's the warm up to the Butterball Turkey Hotline call, because tomorrow will only be one day away from making that call.
There's not
a dress rehearsal.
There's no warm up.
I think there is. I think we have to work out all the kinks, because this year it's going to be great. I can already feel it.
Okay.
So.
That's bullshit.
Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. How about some Alien Ant Farm? No? Well, tough. We're playing it anyway. Also, Radiohead, Rise Against, new music from The Killers, Audio Slave, and more right after this on K-Rock.